Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting worldwide on this Tuesday, the 20th day of August, 2013, worldwide transmission. And we are going to be taking your phone calls here today and also talking to several different guests on the broadcast. John Richardson of Esquire, whose father was the CIA section chief in Southeast Asia, and Viet Dinh was assassinated, wrote the book My Father the Spy. He also wrote a profile in September issue of Esquire magazine on yours truly. But I've got him coming on to talk about the CIA and his dad because it's so historical and informative. By the way, guys, I see here on the sheet, he's on for 30 minutes. I thought I had him on for an hour. I just see that there this morning. So let's give him a call and find out what's going on with that. He is on for an hour? Okay, that's what I thought. It just says 12:30. And so that's what we've got guest-wise today. So we'll have open phones in this hour, and we'll also have open phones, once I give the number out, into the third hour as well today. Wow, there is a lot to cover. A lot to cover here today. I already knew this was happening, and you could see it clearly going on. I genuinely and generally agree with Rand Paul that the United States needs to cut off all foreign aid and not have foreign entanglements that George Washington talked about, because obviously corporate interests are just going to come lobby the government to take care of their interests, not U.S. interests. Now, if Barbary pirates in the Mediterranean are robbing U.S. ships, Thomas Jefferson is president, sent the Marines in to clean their clocks. So I do believe in that type of action to defend ourselves. But 90%+ of what the U.S. does is totally unconstitutional, and it's done to actually undermine our interest by multinational globalists. I mean, just look what globalism's done to us. We pay for everything they do. We don't even get any of the spoils. So it's not just unconstitutional and immoral. It's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. But once you meddle in Egypt, I mean, I agree with Rand Paul, you know, 5 years ago, cut the funds off, 3 years ago, cut it off. But since our government basically ordered the Egyptian military to remove Hosni Mubarak, and then you notice he disappeared, he had a stroke, he was in jail, all that made up, he's now being released. He's just fine. The 31-year U.S.-backed dictator, when back when there was a policy of having a stable area and some freedom in, over there. I'm not defending Mubarak, but as dictators go, he was a lot better by several orders of magnitude than the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and the rest of those people. And then Google and the tax-free foundations with Obama, on record, they brag about this. I want to talk about this coming up. They went and they funded, on record, this Arab Spring, and Mubarak wouldn't go along with overthrowing Gaddafi, so they removed him. And now, basically, the old guard's back in charge. And the Council on Foreign Relations has figured out they can't double-cross them now. That's failed, so now they're jumping back over partially. But Obama, according to Newsweek and establishment hacks, because if it comes out in the Daily Beast, that's coming out of the White House. That's come out. That, oh, hey, don't worry, to everybody being critical of Obama, who wants to see bedlam over in the Middle East, he's cut off aid to the military of Egypt. And undoubtedly, I would want to live under a military dictatorship. It's just that what they're putting in is an Islamist dictatorship that's running around burning down all the churches, and our government wants that to happen. It just shows no matter whoever the worst people are, the globalists are going to fund them. The worst of evils, they're going to fund them. The most effective evils, they're going to fund them.
Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, because we are live. And I am alive, red-blooded. I eat, drink, and sleep, and fight for liberty against tyranny. I am your host, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, already the 20th day of August, 2013, as this planet orbits the sun. And as worldwide, the forces of world government expand and tighten their grip around the neck of free humanity. You are hearing an emergency global transmission of organic resistance against dehumanization and life force, pro-life, pro-liberty resistance to the culture of death. I am your host, Alex Jones. The news websites are Infowars.com, and the backup Quasi Mirror has a lot of its own unique important news. PrisonPlanet.com, and then, of course, you can follow us at Twitter at Real Alex Jones. We have several big Facebooks. They're all listed on Infowars.com. You can see the nightly news at PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, I want to open the phones up after I mention some of the headlines here in the first hour and then intersperse things with the news. Let me just give you the headlines here. We'll see if I can do it without stopping on one of them and going off on a jag. Egypt, massacre of police raises fears of growing jihad activity in Sinai. They've also taken nuns and others hostage and have burned down more than 20 more churches in the last 24 hours. It's now in the hundreds. The Daily Beast, which is a White House organ, so they're bragging through it. Senator Obama administration secretly has suspended military aid to Egypt. You don't need to know that they support them. They helped put them in power 2 years ago. They helped put Morsi in power. Google brags. They met with MI6, the CIA, 4 years ago to start this whole Arab Spring. It is absolutely insane to see all of this unfolding, and to see the public not understanding what's happening. And again, I'm not saying the military junta is a good group. The point is the globalists are trying to remove it so that they can bring the country into absolute civil war and start the destabilization even beyond what it is of the entire Middle East. So we're going to be getting in to that report today. We can show the TV viewers a document cam shot of that article. It's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Also, we're going to be getting into this stack of news. As you know, yesterday, this is all part of the new Pentagon PSYOP to make them think that they're telling the truth. They've come out this week and said, Area 51 was a secret black site for testing secret aircraft, which is what we told you all along. No space aliens, none of that. Toxic waste is dumped there. And then secret skunk works, drone projects, black mana projects, space plane projects. It goes back to the U-2 project in the 40s. That's what goes on there. SR-71 Blackbirds in the 50s. That's what goes on there. So they're now admitting that. They're now admitting CIA confirming role in 1953 coup in Iran, but redacting most of it. We already know because MI6 declassified some of it. And Kermit Roosevelt, the grandson of President Roosevelt, actually of Teddy Roosevelt, that president, who ran the operation, CIA joint operation with MI6, admits how he did it. He wrote a best-selling book on it that was published in 1999. He did an NPR interview. We've aired it here, where they admit they staged terror attacks and blamed it on the government as a type of a double-cross false flag, and then brought in the Muslim extremists to take over, then double-crossed them and brought in the princeling Shah, then double-crossed him in 1979 and put in the Ayatollah Khomeini. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely incredible what's going on that front. absolutely insane what's going on that front. So we're going to be breaking that down today in more detail. And the policies they carry out against other countries are the policies the globalists are carrying out against our country, but in a more incremental form that they can get away with in the whole divide and conquer program. And they just do it over and over again. It's a system. It's a methodology. It's a program. It is a mindset. So we're going to be going over all of those reports as well. And, of course, it's come out. Everybody's like, why aren't you covering Princess Diana and the reports killed by paramilitary police? Because this is another distraction. Of course, the military shoots their mouths off about killing her. That is who killed her. We even know who killed her. It all came out weeks after that they turned the cameras off, ran into the wall. She was alive, struggling, drug in by the special forces into the ambulance that took 45 minutes to go to the hospital 5 minutes away, and they killed her. And there was videotapes and diaries and her butler and her friends, and I've even met her cook. When I was in the home of a Hollywood star, and the point is this all well known? Prince Charles said in a letter, I'm going to kill you in a fake car wreck if you don't stop dating that Arab. And they kept her. I mean, they staged the Gulf of Tonkin. They staged the Iranian coup. It's all come out just like we told you. They killed Princess Diana. It all came out. People always say, well, this stuff was going on. It would come out. It does all come out. So, see, I'm kind of mentioning the news here, but halfway getting to it. RT reports TEPCO, that's a Tokyo electric power company, admits a leakage of 300 tons of water with monstrous radiation levels in it. That's up on Infowars.com. That's just the latest admission. Also, we're going to get into some of the border news that I have here today. ABC News reporting, what could happen if border asylum claims keep rising? Yeah, they've doubled a month ago, and now they've doubled again. So that, what do they call that, quadruple? Because anybody that can get across the border, it's over 30 million right now, instantly becomes a citizen or on the path to citizenship, and then you can even be a felon, you're allowed to stay. And then that ties into a report here, illegals snared as immigration debate continues. They arrested a couple hundred in one of those show arrest deals they always do right when they're trying to pass the end of America and the North American Union. I mean, that's what immigration reform is integration by stealth, according to the SPP documents, Banff Canada, September 2007. Judicial Watch got those documents. Obama administration makes secret deal with Mexico to help illegal immigrants in the workplace. Michael Snyder, American Dream Blog, has that. It's up on Infowars.com. And it's actually in an EEOC press release that Obama made the secret deal to legalize the illegals. Well, yeah, we already knew that, but now it's just more confirmation. An incredible video we're going to air a clip of. Mark Dice again goes out and asks Obama supporters to sign a petition to put carcinogens in the water supply. Yeah, I want my, and of course they all agree if it's for Obama, I want my reporters to go out and do the same thing and say, we want to put cancer viruses in the vaccines to reduce population so that, you know, Obamacare doesn't go bankrupt. For Obamacare, we want to put cancer viruses in the vaccines with carcinogens and then say it's for trendiness. If you say it's for trendy and talk in a voice, an NPR voice, they have to sign it. We've gone out and said, and of course, this then got replicated by a bunch of different reporters. I'm glad they did it. Pro-life group, and I think Dice did it as well. We all imitate each other. We're all in the same fight here. You know, whatever works, let's do it to illustrate things. Hey, we're going to kill babies up to age 3 now for the earth for Obama. Oh, yes. We're going to kill old people now for the earth and for Obama. Oh, good. I don't want to live. You know. We need to show how they've just embraced total enslavement. Because I've never seen a group more, you've got to go to the trendy areas of Austin, the trendy areas of L.A., the trendy areas of Dallas, the trendy areas of Miami, or trendy areas of New York, and you can walk right up and say, let's arrest all gun owners and put them in, you know, I wanted some of my reporters out and do the report I wanted to do, where we go out and say, please sign a petition to confiscate all firearms in Austin, Texas, just to illustrate they're ready to go. Like that Republica song, I'm hot, I'm ready to go, on the rooftop, shout it out. I want to send out Jakari Jackson, Leanne McAdoo, Gigi Arnetta, everybody. I want to send out David Knight. I want to send out John Bowne, who's always busy behind the scenes. I want him to go out and do some reports. He does a great job. I want to go out and just show the madness. The madness of, if you say, for Obama, I think you could say, you know, for the earth and everything, we want to throw dogs and wood chippers for Obama. I don't think they would go along with that, because it's a doggy. Because, see, people are all dehumanized now. They don't care if humans are dying. But if you show Marines throwing a dog off a cliff, people freaked out and said, Alex, that's fake. They had Michelle Malkin come out and say, I was a liar. It was fake, even though they reprimanded them later after the video and admitted they did it, that they were drunk when they did it. You know, the whole point is that they did do that. Everybody, it was international news. Oh, it's so horrible. But if they throw a kid off a cliff, it's like, ah, show what, it's a Haji, kill him anyways. You know, using the kind of racist slur. But then it's also, with the Fort Hood shooter, you're not allowed to call him a jihadist, because they've classified, the real reason is, not political correctness, the CIA, over 200 emails and phone calls with Anwar al-Awlaki, known CIA, telling him to do it. See? Folks asked why we did a $115,000 film contest, and then now you see the White House with taxpayer money. Health and Human Services introduces a video competition to promote Obamacare for young people, because you got to find somebody who's like 12 years old and doesn't know what planet they're on, or they'll find out what a scam Obamacare is, to put out videos and then be featured on national television in Health and Human Services propaganda. Health and Human Services is really a eugenics operation. You should look that up, to where it was set up to carry that garbage out. But there's an example of it. You know, taxpayer money, $30,000. We did $115,000 of money I really didn't have. I mean, I'm spending everything coming in here to put on a full resistance to the globalist. You can go to Infowars.com/Paul and find the hundreds of films that got made on every subject under the sun to help wake people up. That's what this is all about, is countering their propaganda. Obama goes out and gives speeches saying, I need you to get organized to come after the guns with me. I need your help. I need you to get organized to help keep Obamacare to get implemented. They don't know to wreck the healthcare system and bring the country down. I mean, that's absolutely what it's for. That's not rhetoric. We've got to go out and reach these dumbbells somehow and explain to them, look, forget the Republicans, okay? The fact is, Obama is the closer for the globalist to collectivize this country for offshore corporations to implode all their competition and make us so poor we're all dependent. Do you understand what economic conquest is? Do you understand Obama has betrayed you on every single front? Here are examples, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I showed the Obama phone lady. Obama phone! He gave us a phone. He gonna do more. Remember her? I do the imitations. The folks remember who I'm talking about. I flew that sweet little lady down here. She's going to be in Obama deception, too. I flew that sweet little lady down here with her husband. And she, the first time I showed her clips of him saying, I won't raise your payroll taxes, and then blah, 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 and then showed him later raising them, she got a tear in her eye. And she goes, he lied to me. I mean, it's just, it's sick to know that they got, with the Republicans, but it was really a Democratic initiative, so-called homeowner relief designed to milk money out of them and then set them up again and take the house. I mean, when you sit here and watch how they brutalize these idiots out there that trust them. And I've been an idiot, too. I'm not trying to be mean here. But they really are abusing you. And it's like, okay, you get a phone and you get a little bit of welfare. It's only so the globalists control the economy. And then you notice that welfare buys less and less. And then your kids are all in prison and the families are broken up. It's the same thing they did with Native Americans, which was a British model they'd actually used in other countries like India, where you come in and you go, you can't farm this land now, you can't be here, but we're going to put you in this area. Don't worry, we're going to provide you with blankets and food. And then you give them rotten food, you give them diseased blankets, you don't let them leave the area, you create these little conflict resolution groups about, and then you get a group that's your toadies in the reservation that come and tattle to you, and then they're made the reservation police. They have a name for it. It's called a re-education camp. Re-education camps are there to figure out who's going to work with them, who the scum are, who gets taken to on a long ride to nowhere to be shot, 20 miles away on a train in some sand pit at a quarry. Who gets to be sent to a work camp because they're dumb, but they'll follow orders. And who gets to get a uniform and get sent to another camp to run things? Oh, you're a good hardcore psychopath. Not too smart, but you like to abuse people. You'll do what you're told. Here's your black uniform. Man, I'm not going along with all this. I see the de-evolution the globalists have planned for this country. And I can't believe how far we've let ourselves go. In fact, coming up, I'm going to give the number out and go to your calls. But I just had the article here in front of me. It's up on drudgereport.com where I saw it. We just put it up on Infowars.com. Of the Duck Dynasty guy, you know, the guy, evil Americans that made money with their duck call, and everybody makes fun of them because they're rich hillbillies or whatever. And so it's kind of a fun show to watch. Rednecks like it because it's interesting, but the general public likes it because it's what they put on TV to make fun of Southerners, basically. It's a type of what you'd call anti-tribalism or racism, whatever you want to call it. They're coming out saying, you know, what have we become? Well, why do we kill so many kids? Well, who are we? And it's true. And I wish other, quote, celebrities would speak out and use their position to talk about how degenerate our society's gotten. But all of the establishment yuppies now are attacking them. But it doesn't matter because the establishment yuppies don't have an audience anymore.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I'm going to have a chance to talk to John Richardson, who is one of the top two or three profilers in the country. He's the main profile writer for Esquire magazine. And he did have to buck them to get this published. And they cut about 3,000 words out and found the most unflattering photo they could of me in there. But because they said, you know, hey, you know, give us a battle cry. And then they took a photo of that. But I don't mind. It gets people to read it in the final equation. But I'm not really getting him on to talk about Alex Jones. I think we've done enough of that. I'm getting him on to talk about all the amazing profiles he's done. He did the last big one with Charlton Heston. I mean, you name it, he's done it. And he's going to be joining us to also talk about his book that I've got a copy of somewhere here in the office, My Father the Spy. And his father was the CIA section chief in Southeast Asia during some very, very, very famous times during the Vietnam War. And so we're going to be talking about that in light of the CIA confirming its role, the 1953 Iran coup. The only reason they're confirming all this stuff they hadn't previously done is what the Pentagon said 3 weeks ago. They've got to stop lying so much because they've lost all credibility with the people. So they're going to come out and go, okay, we have secret aircraft at Area 51. Gee, we didn't already know that. They've only been photographed hundreds of times conservatively out there. Really, it's thousands of times. I just say hundreds because thousands sounds like too much, but people out there every day taking photos of stuff flying around. And then, no, it's not UFOs, folks. It's secret aircraft. So they come out with that, and, okay, 60 years ago, we helped stage a coup, but we're not going to tell you how. And they're just coming out with a lot of stuff that's already known because they want you to trust them. But that's not going to work either, because the system is unraveling. Everyone knows the economy is not as good as it used to be. Everybody knows the economy is command and control to a great extent. But then after he joins us, I've got the head, the president of eFoods Direct coming on, our big food sponsor. But they're coming on, not as an infomercial today, but for 15 minutes. I twisted his arm saying, are you hearing about big food companies getting calls from Homeland Security wanting to buy a bunch of food? And he said, yeah, no, we've been contacted too. Let me check with the board and see if we can talk about it. So he can talk about it. He's going to come on and talk about what's happening, because we've written articles about Homeland Security not just buying bullets by the billions, but buying storable food and stuff. And, of course, they bought enough ammo, 6 million rounds. Was it 9 million? I forget. How many millions did TSA buy that came out yesterday? I know that it was enough bullets for each TSA person to shoot 9,000 plus a day for 365 days out of the year. And that's just the latest purchase. So that was a very important article. Yeah, Press TV, of all people, picked up our article. It was TSA to purchase 3.5 million rounds of ammunition. It all runs together. And the Army's buying millions of AK-47s to dry up the supply and all this. I mean, it's just out of control. So we're going to have Steve Shank of eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. I might as well make it a plug, telling you he's coming up. Great storable food company there. They have free shipping this month. So check it out, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. I can't mention a sponsor without doing a plug for them. So that's what's coming up. The toll-free number to join us here on air on some of the issues I've just mentioned. What do you make of the announcement by the EEOC and others that the illegal aliens, they're going to make sure that none of them get deported in a secret deal with Obama? So it's already amnesty by fiat. And then my only issue is I can't go to Mexico and work. I can't go to Mexico and do whatever I want. I can go to Mexico and get shaken down and thrown in a jail cell. So why is America supposed to be wide open and give free welfare to everybody? Because we're here to get bankrupted. All that'll end once we're totally bankrupted. What's your take on that? What's your take on Senator Obama administration secretly suspended military aid to Egypt? That's what a senator's saying. That's out of the Daily Beast. Has decided to privately to act as military takeover of Egypt was a coup, temporarily suspending most forms of military aid despite deciding not to announce publicly a coup determination. One way or another, according to a leading U.S. senator. And why are they now coming out and saying things like that? Because this is just the public enunciation or pronunciation or announcement of what the real policy is, to call it the democratization of the Middle East, to finance the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda, to invade countries like Syria and Libya, but to politically invade areas and go to the streets and take over Egypt, and then go around killing their enemies, Muslim minorities, Christians, blowing up churches, killing police. And then CNN, Anderson Cooper says, oh, more protesters were killed today. And then you read the foreign news, it shows video of them throwing Molotov cocktails at the police stations, shooting police. They killed 20-something yesterday. In fact, I have the... Let me just not mention it. Let me just show you the article. London Guardian, Egypt. Massacre of police raises fears of growing jihad activity in the Sinai. 25 military people killed, executed in Sinai Desert after days of bloodshed in which hundreds of Muslim Brotherhood supporters have died. And then also the Muslim Brotherhood folks got caught doing on what this weekend, Kurt Nimmo put the video up on Infowars.com, but nobody else I've seen in press has covered it. And I think that warrants an article, a fake massacre video. I mean, it's clearly fake, and they caught the jihadis doing that in Syria on CNN in a live feed that the Russians recorded and released, going, okay, now I do fake shooting, huh? I bring in dead bodies. Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable, folks, the way they put out. In fact, you guys can look that up. It was on InfoWars, I think Saturday. Just type in, in Egypt, fake massacre video. And then it shows it, clearly fake massacre video. And our media goes and films that, probably is directing it. And then goes, look at the massacre. So if 10 get killed, our media says 100 got killed. Again, I'm not even taking sides here. I believe in not having all these foreign entanglements like George Washington said. Now, there it is. Video shows fake Muslim Brotherhood protesters staging deaths and injuries. Man, we got to get somebody to do an article on that and then tie it into in Iran. You know, the lady that gets shot and the blood comes out her mouth, turned out that was fake. I mean, you know, not everybody's a good actor like Barack Obama. When he lies to you, it actually comes off like he's telling the truth. I mean, it's hard to find liars that good, folks. He's better than Bill Clinton. But these guys, when they do this, the fake stuff, it's just ridiculous. It's very bad acting. And my point is that this isn't being done for American interest to begin with. It's bad enough to do corrupt, underhanded things, in desperate situations to preserve the basic foundation of liberty. That's how all this evil started. They got good men to do bad stuff in the name of, well, the communists are so bad, let's stage a false flag in southern Vietnam so that we can get the people behind us and blame it on the communists, so because they'll do a greater evil if we don't. You don't become the good guy out of that. You become the bad guy. Speaking of that, here's the video and audio that I mentioned. It's up on InfoWars.com if you want to see the whole thing. Duck Dynasty star blast abortion culture. What in the world happened to us? And it's just straight talk, ladies and gentlemen. Even if you don't believe in God, okay, well, something's going to be your God. Like one of my favorite poets has said many, many times, Bob Dylan. May not like Bob Dylan singing. I like it. A lot of people don't, a lot do, but you got to love his poetry. And he goes, you got to serve somebody. In fact, if you guys can find that on YouTube or something, maybe we should go out the last minute of this segment with you got to serve somebody, a minute or two of that, because it says it all. And so if Jesus Christ isn't your God, man, go read what Jesus did, what he said, what he stood for. That's who I want to follow. Instead of... And, of course, the real religious type Christians will say, how dare you even talk like that? Well, that's why you've run everybody off, is by beating them over the head with stuff. I'm not even telling people what to believe here. But, I mean, are we going to make the government? How about Henry Kissinger, our God? Henry Kissinger's endorsing Chris Christie right now. I mean, that tells you right there, that's the Republican you don't want. And Henry Kissinger's after Rand Paul's butt, trying to shoot him down. That tells you Rand Paul's good. I mean, you got to decide who you're going to serve, folks. And people in real positions of power that are good understand the great honor of being a servant. Because by lifting others up, you lift yourself up and teach them how to be servants. I mean, I like to serve people. I like to cook dinner for people. I don't get S&M stuff. I don't like pain. I like to give pleasure. So see, I'm kind of blind to the New World Order and how they operate. Now I've learned how they are. They like dominating. They like pain. I like dominating bad people. Yeah, once you get me in that gear, but I don't take pleasure. I just like putting them in their place. But see, it's up to us, the good guys, to stand up and say no to all of this. And to say, hey, we've done it your New World Order way. Stop telling me to be tolerant of all your New World Order garbage. It's not being tolerant. It's an invasion. The borders being open is an invasion that the globalists are financing and codifying to destroy America, not to empower the people that are coming in. It's a La Infosora, a La Reconquista, on record, Ford Foundation funded. The whole gay agenda, the way it's pushed from the top, isn't about tolerance and then accepting and then adoption. That's what it's about. And then it's like, hey, I'm tired of hearing I'm square, so I'm bad. I don't want anybody sexualizing 5, 6, 7-year-old kids in school, heterosexual, homosexual, and how dare they be able, the whole pedophile NAMBLA movement that's in government, they're a member of the UN non-governmental organization, they admit they're using gay rights to go sexualize kids in school. Would they let them teach 5-year-olds about heterosexual sex for tolerance? No. Only, see, and then they turn it around and go, oh, and then have Salon come out and say, I'm bashing gay people when I'm not. I'm saying your agenda has been hijacked and taken over and now is nothing but like a bunch of holy rollers on the street corner screaming everybody's going to hell, beating everybody over the head with the Bible where everybody runs the other direction. And it's the same thing with this whole militant gay agenda. Just shove. I mean, I'm sick of every TV show, every fiction book I buy, every kids show I try to turn on in a hotel room when I'm on vacation with my kids is shoving stuff at kids. It's pedophilia. See, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's sick. And that's how they get this agenda through, ladies and gentlemen. Because they know they want to attack the family, because then when the family falls, now the state will be the center of gravity for the individuals that have been atomized. Let's go out to break, and then we'll come back and take calls. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And we will go out to break and come back with the Bob Dylan with a clip that's up on Infowars.com in a video featuring Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson. The TV star, in what appears to be a religious sermon, declares his pro-life stance on the issue of abortion. And see, the churches would be full if we had preachers like this who were just lay, organic lovers of liberty. And see, that's why the Bible show and the redneck shows and stuff are all so popular. Because people are sick of the fake stuff. And even if it's goofy looking and the guy looks like Gandalf, people like it because they know it's not this synthetic fake garbage. Now let's go out to a powerful little sermon. Then we'll come back. Stay with us.
It's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. George Washington. I was George Washington. I'm in the same camp as George Washington.
He's definitely a listener. That's my words.
230 or 40 years since President Washington said that. At the time he said that, they said, I'll tell you what, that man is standing on God Almighty in the Bible. We need to name the capital of our country after him. We need to erect a huge monument in his honor. That big Washington Monument in D.C., you know what that capstone, what it says on it? Praise God. I'm with George Washington. Who you with? Was he a religious nut? Because that's what they say I would be. 235 years later, I have a Bible in my hand. What about Andrew Jackson? That reporter asked Andrew Jackson. He was number seven. President Jackson, how come you always carry a Bible with you? He said, that book, sir, is the rock the Republic rests on. That's why I carry it. I'm with Andrew Jackson. I'm still there, Pennsylvania. Was he a religious nut? Right over here in Philadelphia. President number three said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal. We're created equal. He's a Genesis man. They've been endowed by their creator. There's another godly man for you with certain unalienable rights. These are God-given rights, Pennsylvania, that nobody can take from you, according to the right of your Declaration of Independence. Right over there in Philadelphia. Hadn't been that long ago. This is where it started. And thank God for those kind of men, too, by the way. We've been endowed by our Creator, according to Thomas Jefferson, with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life. I tell you, it didn't take us 150 years. We start ripping babies out of wombs. They should have listened to Thomas Jefferson. You have a God-given right to live inside your mother. Come on! To debate whether it's right or wrong to rip you out of your mother's womb when you're about that long? Listen, from the time you started inside your mother's womb, Thomas Jefferson had it right. You have a God-given right to live, for crying out loud. You're this long. You're a week old inside your mother. They sucked you out of there when you're about like that. You wouldn't be tonight. And when you got to about the size of my thumb, they sucked you out. You wouldn't be here. Then you grew a little bigger, like my fist. And finally, 8, 9 months later, you come out. And we debate whether it's
all right, folks.
Some woman has the right.
He goes on to say, what have we become? What have we turned into? And again, George Washington had providence. That's what Christians call it. A Zen Buddhist would call it the force. You got to decide which side you're on, folks. I'm with George Washington. I'm with George Washington. Who are you with? I'm not with Obama. I'm not with Henry Kissinger. I'm not with the Queen of England. How disgusting we worship the royals.
Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard?
We're back live, ladies and gentlemen, about to go to your phone calls. Meanwhile, we've got financial news coming up. $2 trillion plus dollars, Fed's ownership of U.S. debt breaks the $2 trillion level for the first time. China has over $1.5 trillion of the debt, but the private offshore, mainly European banks that pose as the Federal Reserve, don't you love the fraud of these people? I mean, if Hitler would have called himself the Federal Reserve, he'd be in charge right now. Just came over, built white buildings, called it federal, paid off some politicians. That'd have been the end of it. But you roll in with tanks, people resist you. But you roll in with guys in suits, economic hitmen, it's over. So that's some of the news I've got on that front. But the Atlantic magazine plays down America's debt burden because it's all financed and run by those big banks on record. People that own it and run it are all hooked into that. And so, of course, they want you all in debt to them. It's all just fiat made-up numbers. And then they get the whole world. They get all the real assets because the public doesn't understand how this stuff works. The people perish for lack of knowledge. Briefly, folks, if you haven't gotten a ProPure with the Pro One water filters that cuts out the fluoride and all the other garbage that blows away the competition and side-by-side comparisons, you've got to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And check it out in side-by-side comparisons. The stainless steel gravity-fed filters with colloidal silver impregnated in them. Their own proprietary systems. I researched this for years. This is the best company. Notice we didn't have a water filter company for a couple of years. I couldn't find anybody that was really good. This is who I use, what my family uses. This is the best. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsShop.com. The lowest price anywhere with promo code WATER. 10% off already the lowest price. Cuts out the glyphosates, all of it. Promo code WATER at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Okay, let's go to Hornet in FEMA Region 5. What is FEMA Region 5? Is that the Midwest? Where? What former state are you calling us from?
Michigan.
All right, so you're up there in Michigan, formerly in Michigan, now under globalist deindustrialization under Agenda 21. What's on your mind today, evil person?
Are you familiar with FEMA's preparation for the worst-case scenario on FEMA Region 3? They've purchased and they've ordered $11 million in antibiotics to be delivered by October 1st. They've also purchased $14.2 million in MREs and heaters to be delivered to the region by October 1st.
Yeah, well, exactly, but that's only one small grouping. The biggest digging in, buying guns, buying ammo, buying food, stockpiling stuff is going on right now, like World War III was going to start or something, yes. I am familiar with drills everywhere, massive purchasing everywhere, government arming to the teeth, training that gun owners are the enemy. I mean, the training's where you know who it's for. It's that the government is preparing for open war with the American people because they're run by foreign banks. They are like body snatchers or something. They might as well be. They're the foreign enemy. Some of the individuals that work for it are actually on our side. But, I mean, tell me where you learned about the specifics of this operation.
Well, I'm online every day. I'm as bad as you are.
It does sound like you're bad. You're informed. You know things. That's...
They probably have an idea that there are some of us already for them.
Well, I think that's terrorist. I think you should pay all the taxes to the foreign banks, give all your kids the shots, drink fluoride water, eat GMO, and die for the globalists. Because they are divine with the rule of kings. And they rule Earth, and this is their planet, through fraud. So all the hunchback British royalty and the hunchback Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all of them, I think you're wrong, Hornet. I think everybody, not just in FEMA Region 5, should roll over and die and submit to the New World Order.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
By the way, when I call the Queen of England a hunchback skeksy, I've been sitting over a microphone for 18 years. I've kind of got the beginnings of a hunchback. And I got a lot of old folks I love that have hunchbacks. My point is that the globalists are really evil caricatures of, like, evil witches. And you got Quasimodo, the lovable hunchback. My point is that they're wicked, they're twisted, they're inbred, they're hateful. They're always digging up dead little kids on their property. Yeah, I mean, it's just, these are sick filth. I mean, they really are sick filth. And they've decided the whole planet's theirs. And they're in charge because they're intelligent and ruthless. And it's time for us to stop being such just pushovers. Good men have stood down and let evil take over. And it's time to reverse the tide, okay? That's what I'm saying. And the battle for civilization is going to be fought, and it's going to start here in America. You know that. The greatest evil is here. The greatest good is here. People ask, why is there that paradox? It's always that way. History's happening right now, folks. It's time to get aggressive. I don't call it arrogant. It's not arrogance. It's that you're in the right, and you are standing up, and don't be timid. The number one thing is be confident in your fight for liberty. Notice they're always telling us be timid. Oh, be timid in politics. That's how you get ahead. Meanwhile, they're all arrogant and aggressive because they are running the show. Let's talk to Scott in California. You're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I just had a I've been a diabetic for 27 years. I got it from a vaccine when I was 5. Doctors obviously didn't tell me that. But my question was, do you know anything about cures that have happened, but they don't go public because the companies can't make any money off of a cured disease? Hello?
Yes, sir. I'm listening to you. Your phone was breaking up a bit. Go ahead. You're asking me a question.
I had a question about
being a diabetic.
Just if there's any cures out there, and these things have been kind of covered up. I know somebody that's high up in a cancer company, and
I want to explain this. There are a lot of treatments that have been proven in many studies to help with cancer, to help with diabetes. Some people can reverse, depending on the type of diabetes they have, or slow it down. Ray Kurzweil says he's cured his. Undoubtedly, a lot of it's diet. But if your pancreas is already completely shot, or depending, I've had medical doctors on, I'm no expert on this, it depends. But anybody that says, we can diagnose cancer, we can cure it, we can, 100% is full of baloney. Undoubtedly, there are a lot of vitamins, minerals, treatments, things that if you just get off the GMO, you get off the aspartame, you get off the processed sugar, you start exercising, you stop eating the gluten. I mean, a lot of people on record are able to reverse it and control it down to the point where the doctors go, well, you're in remission, but you still have it. Because technically they don't want to say it can be cured because it can always come back. But we know this. Diabetes is up several thousand percentage points from what it was just a few decades ago. You can look that up for yourself. So the biggest thing is don't get it to begin with. And of course, some of it is genetic, but it's kind of like a you can have a genetic predisposition to be extremely skinny, or you could have a genetic whatever you call it, to like go bald or something like that. But if you do certain things, it makes you not go bald as quick. Or so there's mitigating things. They want to make it all about, well, you've just got this genetically, so that's why, you know, you've got diabetes now. Not know with your genetics, if you eat a bunch of processed sugar, it's over. I mean, it's like Native Americans on average, with their genetics on average, are known to not be able to handle alcohol. That's a fact. Whereas a Northern European that come from thousands of years of people drinking like fish, everybody that couldn't handle it already died. So people passed on genetic traits to be able to drink a lot more. Yeah. So again, that's what we're talking about here.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to your phone calls coming up here in a few minutes. We're now well into the second hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by one of the top profilers, not FBI profilers, guys that writes big profiles, John Richardson, best-selling author as well. He wrote a big profile on yours truly in Esquire. That's not why he's joining us. His dad was the CIA section chief in Vietnam during the beginnings of the Vietnam War and the assassination of Viet Dinh, and he is going to be joining us to talk about that in light of all the new CIA news that has come out and more. And then I'm going to ask him about some of his favorite profiles. He's done them all. I mean, presidents, prime ministers, rock stars, the movie stars, all of them. A really interesting person. And I knew when I saw he did the big Ron Paul profile that was positive a few years ago. He's what you call a classical liberal. I knew that if he did a fake profile on me, a hit piece, that would hurt him doing other profiles. Because real profilers, there's not many of them, are known for being real journalists or real reporters. So he did a positive profile, and it's got the left and the right pulling their hair out. Reason Magazine wrote a nice article about it. And it got a few things wrong or out of context. Because I do nuanced things. Of course, they cut 3,000 words out of it so that I can ask John on air what happened with that. But I would explain, I understand in rape or incest why women get abortions, but the agenda behind abortion is dehumanization. And now they're talking about killing babies after birth. That's why it's a state issue, and I'm pro-life. Well, that turns into, I understand when women get abortions. That's out of context. Or hey, I'm not against, you know, gay people, you know, who love each other or whatever. My whole point is I'm not a hater. I don't hate somebody because of, you know, just who they are. I hate the agenda that's been caboosed on to that whole thing of anti-family and sexualization of children that shouldn't be going on heterosexual or homosexual. And that just turns into Alex isn't anti-gay. You know, my whole thing is I'm not here to be divisive. I'm not here to fight with people. Okay, I'm here to try to get a Bill of Rights, liberty culture. I am a libertarian. But other than that, and I guess he's trying to make me look good to the left or something, I mean, it's really a sweetheart piece. And he said he was getting a lot of heat for it before it even came out. So that's why they cut thousands of words out that I guess exposed the New World Order. He had no control over that. But I'm already digressing off into that. I want to go to your phone calls here today. It's just that anybody who really listens to the show knows that we're the opposite of pushing racism. MSNBC says I'm deeply racist and behind the Boston bombing and shows no proof. That shows folks that, and there's a bunch of other TV shows and publications attacking us too. I don't usually cover it all because it gets boring. But just know this, we're on the mark. They're upset about what we're doing. Now, I'm going to play a clip here because this really illustrates why. We had our big video contest. You can see the amazing top entries at Infowars.com/Paul for Paul Revere, $115,000. You know, I probably should have done about $30,000, but I want to do something really big to see what would happen, to find filmmakers later to work with. That was the main goal, but secondarily to make a bunch of great films that millions would see on different angles of liberty, to kind of have that pure organic pure research, to, not where it's my lens, my darkly, my rose-colored darkly, my scanner darkly, but through your eyes, something really pure and organic from every angle. That happened. The White House and Health and Human Services, the same ones that say it's racist to oppose the foreign bankwritten rape the public care known as Obamacare. I mean, just so nightmarish. It's so bad, it's a joke. I mean, I can't even just say all the stuff. It's more than 50 things it does. Doubling your premiums, not covering pre-existing conditions, not unplugging granny, not giving care to people, not giving above 65 cataract surgery, not giving you hip surgery, not giving people life-saving stuff, puts death panels in control, just written by insurance companies to rob you. That fundamentally makes me angry. To then have snot-nosed authoritarians that call themselves liberals in Austin on Man on the Street videos we've done laugh at us and go, I'm with Obama. I like it, racist. I mean, you're just shallow dumbasses. Excuse me. Folks, I prayed to God that I stop engaging in mild profanity. My kids listen. My wife doesn't like it. I don't mean to do it. It's the word that comes in. I want to say what I think these people are. And I mean, I guess that's not bad. It means they're a donkey. So technically, I can say that. The point is, I'm trying to be clean here. Because I don't want to really fly off the handle, okay? It's just that watching poor people get abused really makes me mad. People ask, what makes me tick? I don't like watching people get conned. I don't like cheating people. I don't like stealing. I don't like... I mean, even my enemies, I don't then do dirty tricks to. Unless somebody's absolutely trying to bring me down, I don't even resist them. And I sure don't do it with dirty tricks. And other people, losers, just think dirty tricks are neat. They think that's how winners get ahead. They just dishonorable scum. Delusional, pathetic, soft filth is what I see out there just begging to be part of the trendiness, begging to imagine they're winners because they buy into all this fraud. You're not winners. You're the biggest schmucks, to use that great Yiddish word, the biggest suckers, the biggest marks, the biggest willful idiot fools I've ever seen in my life, and you are dangerous. Let's go to this short clip here with the Health and Human Services promo, $30,000, so that young people... Trendies is who their target is. Part of the new PSYOP they're rolling out. They're going to have hundreds of these contests. I told you about this a few weeks ago. Can come out and then they'll all be on local news and TV and, oh, you're a star. You get on TV when you say what the government wants. And they're going to put billions of dollars out to every town, city, county. I told you about this. To where everybody goes, oh, I can't get a job, but if I go spout a line, I'll be on local news and all this. And then a few people get a little money, but you'll have no future. I mean, this is the takeover. All Pentagon, CIA run through these federal agencies. This is just the beginning. And that's why I've said, that's why all of you have to do YouTube videos. All of you, doesn't matter how good it is, have to do a local radio show. You've got to find every crack you can in the info war and fire on the enemy. I mean, it, you know, if this is the Alamo, folks, or this is Battle of the Bulge with the tanks coming across the bridge. I mean, this is it. Okay, we need Audie Murphy in the info war right now. Plus, you're not going to be scared once you get up on the gun, folks. You're going to actually go, oh my gosh, it's so much fun to fight tyranny and not be afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to go all the way and really get aggressive. Come on and cross the line with me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Break on through to the other side. Come on. Come on and take a walk with us. Let's go ahead and go to Frank. I'll go to Frank in a minute. I'm sorry. Let's go to this video of the video with the propagandists putting out the bait for the little minnows to come in. You know, not only now they're going to put out propaganda on all the news channels, they're going to turn tens of thousands of young gibbering trendies into change agents to swarm around, bossing us around, all with electricity in their eyes, the reflected glory of Homeland Security now taking over. Here's the clip.
We want you to create your own video, trendy. Tell your friends, sign up for health insurance. Win cash prizes. We're turning you into a dead serf. Look, you'll roller skate. You'll be a trendy skateboarder and play guitar. These were all your false dreams of being a movie star. But you'll actually be able to do it with the communist fist raised. You're young and you're invincible. HealthyYoungAmericans.org for the rules.
And by the way, if I had the money, I'd do another contest for 30 grand. You know, I don't have the money, but I just am on faith going to do it. $5,000 contest, 1 month, we're announcing it. Problem is, I don't have the personnel to watch all these videos. So, and I don't want to hear all the bitching and complaining, but it doesn't matter. I'll let you all complain that don't win. In fact, I won't do the contest. You win, I won't do one. No, actually, we're not doing one. I think everybody should just organically go out maybe do a contest making fun of this video. I mean, this is what the propaganda's come up with. Is that it's meant to tap into all the kids think they're going to be a DJ and be famous, or they're going to be a rapper or a rock star and be famous, because that's what they sell. You're not going to be famous working hard and famous with your kids having a great wife and great children and building a great future. No, because that's too easy to be fulfilled. They don't want you to ever be fulfilled, so you're always chasing Madison Avenue. While they try to shut down the power plants, the factories, the jobs, so that you have to go to them to be on welfare so they control your whole destiny. That's what this is about, is ending free will. Making you live on the digital reservation, the digital plantation. And so it shows them skateboarding, roller skating, BMX, flipping, you know, hitting every niche, dancing, everything. You thought you were going to be a star. You thought your future was this way. You thought you could have a future this way. No, you do it by going to the federal government and putting out hundreds of thousands of videos pushing all sorts of mindless, drooling, fluoride head trendies up there telling us how great it is and telling you, flood the system because you're young and go demand insurance off the system to get you enrolled so you bring down the system even faster. Bring in the illegals. Get all the free stuff. Bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down. And there's the shields of the Republic. We're rotting inside. Politically, things are burning. The family's falling apart. Disease levels are shooting up. And the shields are fading in and out. And they're like, bring down the shields so hell can come in. I mean, literal re-education camps, black uniforms, and they're just, bring down the shields. Bring them down. Bring down the shields. Satan is just saying, the shields are falling. Soon the whole earth will fall. The shields are, ying, 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 ying. And the trendies are dancing. Yeah, let our God in. Let him in. And their God's going to take them and just rip them in pieces.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
By the way, if you don't think Soviets killing more than 60 million people, Mao upwards of 80 million, is hell on earth and the devil running wild, I don't know what is. And we got hardcore globalists here that really want to wreck this country and come after everybody. And all the middle class people out there, I don't care what color you are, who you are, you're going to lose everything under the New World Order. I mean, if no one will stand up to the foreign banks, they will take everything and go move it to Switzerland or a few other safe zones like Luxembourg. Okay? I mean, this is what they'll do. So you need to understand that. I'm going to go to some of your phone calls ahead of our guests joining us. But they just get people to buy into the idea that it's cool to be for tyranny. We have a video up on Infowars.com. Obama supporters sign petition to put carcinogens in the water for Obama. And as long as you say for Obama, they do it. Let's kill babies for Obama. Let's arrest gun owners for Obama. Let's have a new Holocaust for Obama. They sign it. Let's ban water for Obama. And they just go for Obama, for Obama. And you go, hey, you know, the healthcare bill's written to rip you off. Hey, you know, government involvement in healthcare is what made it get so expensive to begin with, just like education. Hey, you know, this has happened before. Hey, by the way, why do you think big banks are financing this? Shut up, racist. And it's just, they're literally just dumb, unintellectual people that walk around watching MSNBC and believe they're intellectual. And then their answer to you is, don't show off, racist. That's a lot of smart talk, racist. And you're like, actually, I would... Get out of my way, racist. They're really pathetic. And just because they're pathetic doesn't mean I have to be their slave. Just because they can get a majority of people to want to be run over by the New World Order doesn't mean it has to happen to us. We have individual God-given rights, folks. Frank in North Carolina, you're on the air, sir. I appreciate you calling in today.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I just wanted to speak briefly to your, primarily, specifically to your young, new listeners, veterans, and active duty military. I've been listening to talk radio for about 23 years now, and pretty much heard it all. I was a big Rush Limbaugh follower for 16 years, so I know his whole diatribe. I know all of that, but there's a general that you probably didn't learn about in basic training or boot camp, and his name is Smedley Butler. He was a Marine Corps general. He was a two-time recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. You might want to go look him up on the internet. His name is Smedley Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R. He wrote a little book called War is a Racket, and that's exactly what it was then, and it's exactly what it is today. But I wanted to, you know, for the young listeners out there that are new to all this, there are these war cheerleaders on mainstream talk radio, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly. I go on and on and on. For the past 20 years on my local radio stations, there's one thing all of these people have in common. Not one of them ever served in the United States military. You might want to think about that and go look up what Smedley Butler said.
Thank you. Notice that Smedley Darlington Butler, Frank, also stopped a coup that was planned by people in the U.S. government. Namely, Prescott Bush was the German front guy, and was able to stop it. They tried to hire him because he was an anti-communist at the time. The argument was, hey, we'll have a Nazi fascist government instead of the communist. So they always give you those different choices of tyranny. And he said, how about America? How about a republic? And he was able to blow the whistle on it, and they had the McCormick-Dickstein committee hearings about it later, but it got swept under the rug because it was such a big deal. And I'm not defending Prescott Bush either, but at the time, you know, Hitler was like Man of the Year in Time magazine in like 37 and 39. He was a great guy. So, you know, that's how Prescott Bush got his power, was being one of their head bankers here in the U.S. But under the Harrimans and others, they were going to have a coup in the U.S. And when that failed, they came up with the plan of COG. If they could build a continuity of government system to stop a foreign takeover, they could use that program just like they tried to use it in Operation Valkyrie against Hitler. Legitimately, they were going to use COG illegitimately to take over America. And that's what Homeland Security is COG. And it's the COG is now heating up and dissolving the old republic. Because you had the old republic still there like an old bridge. And they built a new bridge that's tyranny. And now they're tearing down the old bridge. We're now going into that process. Does that make sense to you, caller?
Yeah. Did you ever get that information back in January of 2009 where Rush Limbaugh went on that rant where he explained that he'd been lying all these years, and he started talking about the New World Order, CFR, Bilderbergs, how there was this elite group of people that actually controlled that the president, Congress.
Yeah, I think that was dark. I think that was dark satire, though, because we all know CFR doesn't exist. Limbaugh said.
Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. It is the 20th day of August 2013 on this Tuesday edition. And I can actually say we have a mainstream journalist, I don't know for how long, writing a decent piece on me for Esquire on, who actually did everything he said he'd do. He wrote, a fair piece. It has some stuff in there that's negative, because I am negative in some ways. I agree with some of the points in there that don't put me in that good of a light, because none of us are perfect. But John Richardson did what he said he would do. And I think that's the first time I've had a big mainstream writer for one of the big magazines actually keep their word. I mean, Texas Monthly did it. to a certain extent, but was even a little more negative and I think unfair in some ways. That writer did a pretty good job. But I'd had him on before about Tulia, Texas, where they locked up every black person in the town in the jail owned by the judge, basically. So he knew I was a good guy because I'd had him on helping get his story out nationwide on Tulia, Texas. And he did somewhat of a fair piece. And you know, Rolling Stone wasn't that bad because these profilers know that if they go out and do a period piece, people are going to go read it and realize, man, this guy, you know, makes stuff up. But I was worried, you know, saying, I don't think you'll get it published if it's truthful, because I'll be open with you and tell you the truth. And they did cut a few thousand words out of it and it did get stuck in the back of the magazine. Usually his stuff's up in the front of the magazine. He's one of the top profile writers, I'd say in the top three in the country. He did a fair piece on Ron Paul, calling him founding father. He did the big piece at the end of the life with Charlton Heston. He's done hundreds of profiles. In fact, when I first looked him up, I said, I know who that guy is. Years ago, we tried to get him on to the publisher for his book, My Father the Spy, that came out 5-6 years ago, and I guess they got busy. He couldn't come on. Well, now he's here about that. So we're not going to get into Alex Jones too much here today in the hour that we have him, and I'm going to try to shut up because I'm like a wind-up toy. You turn me loose. I just like the Energizer Bunny going around banging cymbals together. But we went up to Hot Spring originally for 2 days, and then my kids got sick. One of them got sick while we were up there. So my wife said, can we just stay a few more days now that they're better? And I said, sure, and forgot, because I'm not usually flaky, that he was coming into Austin. So he was nice enough to fly. First, he, I guess, flew in from New York to Austin, then up to Hot Springs in its kind of rotting beauty up there. And we hung out for a few days and then talked a lot on the phone. So he did a pretty good piece. It's interesting. In Esquire, the current issue, the September issue that's on newsstands, it came out last week. And just today, the piece went up online on the Esquire website that we have linked in a story on Infowars.com. Esquire publishes shockingly fair profile of Alex Jones. And they ask, is it a turning point for mainstream media? You know, I'm seeing actually more and more with reporters and journalists that they're doing more and more hardcore journalism, not just more accurate profiles. You know, there's kind of a parting of the ways. You're either getting pure hack MSNBC, Alex Jones is behind the Boston bombing and he's a racist, or you're getting people that actually want to have integrity doing fairer pieces. I mean, I certainly don't come off as perfect because I'm not. I'm probably one of my biggest detractors. And then you've got the establishment panicking, saying, well, now we're going to engage in domestic propaganda. We're going to turn the CIA loose and the Department of Defense and propaganda. Well, that's been going on for a long time, but now the gloves are off. And so you're really going to see a lot happen the next few years, ladies and gentlemen, as there's a struggle, not just out in the private sector, but in corporations, because I don't consider them to be the private sector. They're bigger than government. And government itself about, do you love your kids? Do you love your grandkids? But I got him on, and I'm doing a characteristic Alex Jones rant here. John Richardson has a long, interesting bio, but I won't go over it all. But he writes for New York Magazine, Premier Magazine, Esquire Magazine, LA Times, Los Angeles Daily News, Albuquerque Tribune, you name it. And he attended the Southern California from 77 and Columbia University. And he has written a bunch of best-selling books. My Father, the Spy, an investigative memoir. I read it, I said 5 years ago, time flies. It was back in 2006 I read it. I think it came out in 2005. And he joins us now. Well, John, I bet you're in trouble with all your buddies now for not making stuff up about me.
Yeah, the liberal media is going to take away my card. I won't be able to walk down the street.
All right, well, I've been ranting enough. Let's talk about the piece and the Esquire article. Tell us about that process and what you thought you'd discover versus what you discovered and how you're the first person to do a fair piece on me.
Well, I don't know if I'm the first person, but I like that characterization of what was it? Surprisingly fair. I can live with that. But you know, Alex, I think you're not a mean-spirited person. You don't have hatred in your heart for minorities or, you know, gays or whatever. You've got your point of view, which is, I think, pretty extreme, but it's sincere. And it, like I said, it's not mean-spirited. I didn't see a whole lot to hate there. We talked a lot about your ideas and how I think they discourage people from being involved. It's so blanketly anti-government that they discourage people from taking action and trying to improve things like Too Big to Fail, which I would like to see put through. I think we're on the same page with that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I didn't see a lot of hatred there. There's people. I've done a lot of Tea Party stuff, and there's people who I feel are haters, and they sort of make my skin crawl. Not all of them, certainly, not even most of them. But and that's the sort of thing where I would probably be less, surprisingly fair. But with you, I didn't feel like getting into a fight.
I'd like to get you on when you do profiles or just on all the incredible people that you've interviewed. Out of the hundreds of profiles you've done, it's fair to say hundreds, right, John?
Yeah, probably 50, 60.
Well, you do other articles too. I mean, how many stories do you think you've written in your career?
Oh, God, thousands. Yeah.
Thousands.
Paper stuff, yeah.
Who has been your favorite profile in hindsight? Well, what's evergreen? What gets better over time?
It's hard to separate out the people who are really interesting from the story and how well it turns out. Like one of my favorite stories was about Angelina Jolie, the actress, because she was real generous. She came over to my house and sort of, freaked out for me and had a little nervous breakdown. And it led to a great story. And I had a feeling for her because she was in a troubled part of her life. So, it's not that she's necessarily the most fascinating person in the world, but it led to a really good story. I was pleased with that. But, obviously it's really exciting meeting some of the great people of our culture. I spent 7 days with Jim Cameron when he was making Titanic. That was pretty epic. I spent a lot of time with a human rights researcher who was investigating torture back in the early days of the Iraq War. He was, not a Jim Cameron type, but he was an American citizen out there struggling to do the best job he could and keep the country from doing horrible things. So, it's a privilege to be able to hang out with people like that.
Chuck Heston.
It tells me I shouldn't complain so much.
No, it's awesome. Chuck Heston, you spent a lot of time with him right before he went off the radar and then died. Tell us about that.
Well, I traveled around the country with him for about a week, going to gun shows and stuff. He was doing his NRA support thing. And it was funny because, politically, he and I had nothing in common in a way. But he'd been an actor, obviously, for many years, and I'd covered Hollywood for many years. So we had that point of contact. And I just thought he was a lovely guy. He was really nice to me. We had some great dinners where he talked about showbiz and the great actors he'd worked with and movies he'd been in. And, he was an old ham. He loved talking about that stuff. But also with other people on the signature autograph lines and dealing with the students who greeted him at college and all that. He was an incredibly gracious man, a really kind fellow. Plus, it struck me that he was, he was doing all this on his own dime. I don't think the NRA was paying for it. He was pretty well off. And so he was traveling around the country. He was an old guy with a cane. And he was doing it, to advance the things that he believed in, the America that he believed in.
Exactly. He was on a mission because I only had him on my show twice, and whoever can find the other interview, I'd pay him. It's somewhere out there. We can't find it. But then he said, if you ever need to talk about strategy and, anything, give me a call. And I go, well, when? Well, just if I'm here, I'll answer in my office. I guess he had another office at his house. And for months, I never called it. And I called it a few times and nobody answered, didn't have an answering machine. And one day, hello. And I talked to him like 20 minutes and he encouraged me and stuff. And I never called him back again. And and then suddenly his wife says he's retiring and he shouldn't be flying around doing this on his own dime. And he kind of, I think the doctors got him and drugged him and he kind of disappeared. But the point is that, that's an icon, and he was such a real human. That really touched me, and I'm envious of you getting to spend a week with him.
Well, I think maybe this is one of the reasons I didn't feel the need to trash you. It's because, I didn't agree with him about the guns and, some of it, but not most of it. But I felt like he was doing what Americans are supposed to do, which is go out there and raise his voice and argue for what he believes in, and then we vote and work it out. I mean, that's so. Politically, I didn't have a problem with him. On the contrary, I respected his commitment. You know, he's a good guy. I was sad when he died, and I was angry when I saw the Michael Moore thing. I mean, it's funny because like Michael Moore, I might agree with a lot more. But I just thought he treated that poor old guy who was old and not, you know, all there completely.
John, you're a real liberal. You're a real liberal that I like, not the fake liberals that are more like big city organized crime bosses manipulating the real liberals out there, just like neocons manipulate well-meaning conservatives.
Well, I'm the ineffective kind of liberal who you know, doesn't probably get things done. The hard guys who, like, you know how to fight politics are probably the ones that you and I don't like.
Well, again, John Richardson, who is the best-selling author of My Father, the Spy, is with us. The current issue of Esquire has got a pretty fair, interesting perspective on yours truly, but that's not why he's here today. I want to shift gears now into Your Father, the Spy, because I don't know one-tenth of about Vietnam that you know, because I know you've really researched it, but obviously I've done some research. Gulf of Tonkin that got us into it, things like that. The new CIA stuff on the 53 coup, now confirming, you know, what Kermit Roosevelt wrote in his book about that in Iran. Tell us about your dad, growing up with him, and then, I mean, because he was probably there in one of the most key periods as the head CIA guy, in Southeast Asia, I guess.
Yeah, no, he was definitely the key guy in a lot of that stuff. This is probably one of the reasons why I have this kind of ambivalent approach to stuff that's not too partisan, although I have my beliefs, because, you know, I grew up in the 60s and I had long hair and all that stuff, and yet my dad was this hardcore CIA guy, and as I got to know him better, I realized not only had he been pretty consequential, but I spent an awful lot of time wrestling emotionally with how I was supposed to feel about my old man. You know, he was one of these guys. He grew up in California, same town as Richard Nixon. So was on the same team as Richard Nixon, a couple of year or two behind him. And it was a Quaker town, and he was just an idealistic, innocent kid like they could be back in the 30s. And the war came along. He was teaching in English and trying to be a anthropology student. The war came along, and he got swept up and put in the Signal Corps, and eventually they found out that he knew languages and stuck him in the CIA, in the counterintelligence corps in the military, which was kind of like the OSS. And what they did was in Italy, you know, catch spies coming across the lines. I think during that whole time, like with so many of those World War II guys, his worldview became really fixed in many ways, and he was a guard. He was protecting the country. He was protecting the lines, protecting the battlefield, protecting his fellow soldiers. And after the war, they asked him to join the CIA, and he just went straight into that. And you know a lot about history, so you know how the Soviets clamped down on Eastern Europe and threw up the Berlin Wall and all that stuff. And it was a time when my father's generation of intelligence officers saw totalitarianism of Nazi Germany and totalitarianism of communism identically. So they were very much, my dad was very much a man with a mission that he considered noble. And he was totally consumed by it. And I admired that. I mean, later as I got older and I started looking at it politically and what I thought about the Vietnam War and some of the things that his agency had done in El Salvador and in Iran, as you mentioned, I had more complicated feelings, but I admired the passion and the conviction. So that led to sort of a lifelong wrestling with politics and personalities and all of that. But yeah, in Vietnam, he was the head of the CIA in Vietnam. He was the guy who reluctantly participated in the overthrow and of Ngo Dinh Diem. He was gone by the time that he was assassinated. He installed the government of the Philippines into the presidency there, and then subsequently he worked closely with Nodin Jem in Korea. Park Chung-hee in Korea during the time of Park Chung-hee's famous dictatorship. So it was fun. It was exciting.
Well, I read the book. It was probably 6-7 years ago, but I remember it was a page turner. We're going to go to break soon and come back and get more into the book. But tell folks kind of the boil down of the book, what it follows.
Well, it's about his, you know, it's about his life and how, you know, the stuff that I just said about sort of how he got into it. But obviously it centers on Vietnam because that was the big deal. He was at a time when liberals like in the New York Times and liberal journalists were like assailing the government of Vietnam, South Vietnam, for being a dictatorship and putting high school kids in tiger cages and stuff like that. My dad's position was that he was the only leader who could successfully lead the country, that he had legitimacy that nobody else had, and that we should stop micromanaging his country and let him run his war. Americans like to micromanage foreign countries, so the ambassador, Henry Cabot Lodge, basically blew off my dad and blew off the president of the United States and had his overthrow regardless. I've read all the memos.
Stay there. Let's get into this because it gives you a bird's eye view into how there's even fights internally going on, and then project that onto what's happening in the Middle East right now with Egypt and Syria and Libya. John Richardson's our guest. We're going to reconnect with him on Skype because he's not drunk, folks. The Skype's slowing down, and then he talks normal for a minute, then it slows down for a sec. Just letting radio listeners know that's a Skype effect. We're not drinking yet. That comes later.
I'm ready for it.
Been some type of school shooting or scare in Atlanta. I hope it's not some other person on serotonin reuptake inhibitors who got the guns illegally again that does something so we can all be told collectively it's our fault, even though gun deaths are down over 60% since 1992. Justice Department's own numbers. It won't matter. If anybody's been killed, you know gun owners will be blamed. But I don't want to digress off into that. We're going to follow this as it unfolds. Third hour is coming up. John Richardson will be with us 30 minutes in the next hour. I know we got loaded phones too, all over the place. But we got people calling in about checkpoints on highways, you name it. New security at Redskins games, you name it. A bunch of callers talking about the feds and Department of Defense 401ks. I will get to your calls today. You may have to hold 30 minutes, but we're going to get to everybody. Here. Okay, let's go back to John Richardson, who we just reconnected with on Skype, the writer for Esquire magazine, whose father was a CIA section chief there in Vietnam during some very, very famous times. You're getting up to the point of the president and your father are saying, don't kill the South Vietnamese leader. But then it still went ahead and happened. And then I'm no historian, but a lot of historians say that's really when things did get out of control. That was probably a bad decision. So break down the politics of that to try to bring us up to speed today, where we wonder how agencies are fighting with each other, but this, I guess, is more of the same.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is interesting because they try to give an impression that they're in control of stuff and that everybody knows what they're doing and that they're communicating. But communication is tough and people have egos. And Henry Cabot Lodge, you know, who was whose people spoke to God, it was his joke, was an old American going back to the revolution, top family. family. He had a distinguished history, and he felt like, you know, he knew a lot better than this young upstart named Kennedy how they should run Vietnam. He was it's unbelievable reading this stuff. He was incredibly arrogant. He had, like, contempt for the Vietnamese and for the president of Vietnam. He made up his mind before he got off the plane that they were losers who needed to be overthrown.
It's safe to say he was on a superpower trip.
Well, he was a very elite East Coaster, as elite as you can get. He was incredibly arrogant, and he felt like, he was old school imperialist in the sense that, you know, they should do what we tell them to. You know, it's very hard for anyone to know now, or any counter history is always like a game, whether Vietnam would have been different if we hadn't overthrown Diem, but we definitely know what happened when we did overthrow him, which was sort of what my dad predicted, was that none of the generals who thought that they could run the country really could run the country, and you have a situation of rolling chaos with one government after another, which, you know, it may be very similar to what ends up happening in Egypt now, for example. But, you know, what's really fascinating about that case, and where I have to, like, throw it in your face, Alex, is that I've read all the internal letters that have been made public of the White House's deliberations during that time, and now that so much time has gone past, they've made all that stuff public. And Kennedy was like, I don't want to make up my mind right now. Tell the ambassador Lodge to you know, cool his jets for a little while. I want to talk to other people. I want to get some fact-finding, send some generals, send General LeMay out on a fact-finding mission. You know, he kept stalling, basically. He didn't want to pull the trigger and make the decision.
Hold on, back in 60 seconds. I'm explain this to me when we get back. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
John Richardson is our guest. He wrote the big profile on Pumpkinhead, that's me, for the current issue, September issue of Esquire magazine. Pick it up on newsstands everywhere. It's a pretty fair piece compared to what I've seen, and my family certainly likes the take, but I don't know, it's kind of torture to read about yourself, but that's not why he's here with us. This is only a short segment, long segment coming up. John Richardson with us here today. John, I guess from the historians and just watching PBS and reading things, I mean, they've cast it like Kennedy did not like the escalation. Well, what I've read is at first he was pro-war, and yeah, let's get new weapon systems, let's go in there, but then he started to really not like it and was arguing with them. But I know you've really done more research on this than I have, and wanted to start, you know, getting rid of the Federal Reserve. I know he signed an executive order to issue U.S. notes. I know that's a fact. He said no to Lemnitzer, to stage terror attacks, you know, and blame it on Cuba. He said a bunch of stuff, and so that's why he was making him mad. I mean, what are you getting at here? That Kennedy was pro-Vietnam or anti-Vietnam War?
No, I think he just was stalling. He didn't want to make the decision, he wanted to gather as much information as possible and stalling. I mean, sometimes, you know, you're not really sure what to do, and you want to wait for more things to develop. You know, I've had lots of arguments, and even argued with Oliver Stone about this period back when he was making JFK. I mean, people project a lot of fantasies onto President Kennedy, I think. And in these documents, when you go through history, you see that the original documents, not the books that sort of make it all make sense, but you see that there's a lot of things said, a lot of things written. You can take almost anything and any direction you want. My read of the stuff is that Kennedy was pretty militant. He wasn't like a peacenik. He wanted, like every president, like Obama, like Bush, wants to have control over the world and wants to advance American power. So I don't really see him. You know, he might have pulled out of Vietnam because he thought it was a strategic error. But was he less of an imperialist than other Americans of that time? I don't think so. It doesn't read that way.
Well, I want to be clear. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that somebody in Kennedy's entourage had Marilyn Monroe killed. Also, they declassified, 6 years ago, that Bobby wanted to blow up the U.S. embassy in Honduras to basically invade down there. So I know they weren't angels. So then the question comes in, why did the establishment, or maybe you don't agree with this, have them killed?
Well, of course, I don't agree that the establishment had them killed. You know, let me finish my point about Jem is like, the way I read that really is that Lodge was in control because of communications in those days and because of protocol. Kennedy didn't want to make a decision. Lodge effectively cut my father out of the argument by exposing him as a CIA agent through David Halberstam and the New York Times and having him withdrawn. And a few weeks later, this event, which guys like you know, would put all sorts of interpretations as to what the conspiracy was. It, to me, it seems like it happened kind of by accident. And I'll tell you something my dad used to drill into me when I was a kid. In the 60s, I would get into like various, I guess you'd call them conspiracy theories now.
Hold that thought. Long segment coming up. We have that short segment right at the start of the hour. Stay there when we come back with John Richardson. He will lay it out in layman's terms. Let's talk about the assassination of the South Vietnamese president, your dad not wanting to do it, what happened there. It's all in the book, My Father, the Spy. And he's not coming on to plug it, but I'm plugging it for him. It's a good book. It's at Amazon.com. And it is a powerful read. We'll be right back.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
My Father, the Spy, an investigative memoir. We're going to be talking with John Richardson, who wrote the book about his father, the CIA section-chief, during one of the most, I think, probably the pivotal time in what really kind of launched the Vietnam War, not officially, but historically, I think officially is when it really started going. Officially would be Gulf of Tonkin, 1964. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. The good news about the Atlanta shooting, no one hurt. A gun went off or something in the office. Who knows, probably some type of gang-related thing. It usually is when it's not a giant mass shooting, some crime-related deal. So that's certainly good news, but they're using it as a big grandstanding event to militarize everything. But very, very good news that no one has been hurt right now on that new school shooting situation. I'll tell you who is being hurt. That's the Egyptian people, which I'm not on any side of this, but I've tried to study it. We're going to get John Richardson's take on that here in a moment. Again, one of the top profilers, not in the country, but in the world. He's interviewed, you name it, he's interviewed him. And he decided to do a profile on little Alex Jones. So I'm flattered. And certainly getting a lot of positive press from the libertarians, like Reason Magazine and others. It's getting negative press from the neocon warmongers and their kissing cousin, the authoritarian left, who normally just makes stuff up constantly. And his Skype's been in and out, so we just lost him on Skype. Skype's wonderful for audio quality and video for our TV viewers, but it obviously is based on the internet, not a satellite uplink, so it's in and out. We're going to get him back up in a moment to you know, really boil it down, you know, the point he was getting to with his father ordered to assassinate, basically, the president of South Vietnam, who he liked and who he thought was overall, you know, better than the communist. And do it following orders, and you know, then I guess then having the people in the government then out him on top of it, it just shows that there's no at least from my perspective, on the stuff that goes on in these intelligence agencies. It's very, very dishonorable, the things they do to the people. It's kind of like Bush ordering people to torture, and then when it comes out, they're torturing them, putting them in jail. And then he writes a book bragging he ordered torture. Well, then why didn't you give these people a pardon that you had torture? I mean, it just shows, folks, don't do things the government tells you to do that are unconstitutional and immoral. Because war corrupts people. And, the other side's doing this, so we've got to do this. And then that's how the process that invariably leads to this. Have we gotten him back? Okay, we got him back via audio Skype, not video. John, it was a cliffhanger there. You were coming up to those set breaks on the satellite, or I would have skipped it, where you were talking about what your father would say about the way the world really worked. But before we do that, recap for listeners what happened back in 1963 with the assassination of the South Vietnamese president, what your dad really thought of him. Kind of condense all that down, because that's what the book gets into. But, I mean, it's historical, it's important. And then segue into what you're about to say about your dad.
Okay, yeah. First off, he was never tasked to assassinate. We didn't assassinate in those days before drones and stuff like that.
No, I mean, I know he didn't go pull the trigger, but I mean, didn't the president end up...
No, the president did not order an assassination. They ordered an overthrow, or, Lodge ordered an overthrow. And he was just killed during the overthrow.
Accidentally fell down.
Well, they should have anticipated, things go wrong, and they could have anticipated that such a thing might happen. But supposedly, Kennedy and other people were really devastated by it. Anyway, my dad respected Jim. He spent a lot of time with him. He was a very patient man, my dad, and he was willing to listen to the guy's 3-hour lectures about Vietnamese history and culture. I think Lodge was not a patient man, was not willing to listen to the 3-hour lectures. This stuff gets really complicated, I think. Times have changed, but American leaders, like right now, Obama is probably trying to bring some kind of pressure on General Sisi in Egypt. But what pressure can he really bring on the guy for, we give him some money, we have connections with other governments that might hold sway on them. But ultimately, you get down to these countries and these autocratic leaders, and they're difficult to sway. And I think my dad's just personality was more like, let's respect them and let's try to find a way to work with them rather than let's overthrow them. He was also like really conscious that chaos, because he'd been in Italy after World War II, that without a strong, some kind of government, some kind of effective government or strong leader, you can have anarchism and chaos that leads to...
Well, sure, that's like when the Pentagon disbanded the Iraqi military.
Right, exactly. And that's another example. I mean, the caution of my dad's generation of guys, or some of them, just blithely overthrowing countries and hoping that it won't fall into chaos after so many examples to the contrary is pretty shocking. But these guys in power, they feel that they have power and can use it. It's crazy. But what my dad said, so my dad respected Jim. He thought he was like a really sincere leader, tough and autocratic and brutal. But it was during a war, was my dad's opinion. He's trying to keep his country together in time of war. I remember him saying that many times. He had a certain sort of like that Gene Kirkpatrick notion that some countries are cut out for autocracy and some countries are cut out for democracy, and it takes a long time to get them from one place to another, especially in Asia. That was his opinion. It might be, it might not be politically correct, but that was his opinion, and he earned it. But, he always used to tell me, and this is where you and I part ways dramatically, he used to say, son, there are no secrets. I don't even remember what made him say that, but he always used to say that. And I think, and I remember when France threw that American spy out, he got enraged. This was in the 80s. He was like, allies spy on allies. he just gave me this, and I think what he was saying, I think he, this, there are no secrets, was partly in relation to the Kennedy assassination. It's like, it's, you can't keep a secret about whether you had an affair. You know, you tell your friends and pretty soon your wife knows it. Whether a small group of people killed the president, pretty hard secret to keep.
Well, I think the only secrets you can keep are ones that are so horrible that society doesn't want to believe them, like the government allowed Islamic jihadis to be involved in 9/11 and open the door, bare minimum. I mean,
yeah,
that's...
But Alex, you got to analyze that statement. The government allowed them to
criminal elements in the government.
Administration, and not one of them stepped up and said, oh, my God, these guys are killing Americans. Not one of them.
We've had Sybil Edmonds. We've had Colonel Schaefer.
One person. You can't keep a secret with two people.
Let me expand on that. They kept the Manhattan Project secret for 4 years.
I don't think they kept it a very good secret. I mean, it was a secret from the broad general public, but it wasn't a secret from the Nazis.
Well, listen, I don't want to argue with it because, I mean, I get your point. I actually have always said, and listeners have heard this probably 100 times, they don't keep any of this stuff secret, but the mainstream media never picks it up and investigates it to find out what really went on and what really happened. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff does. I mean, they said on 9/11, we're going to blow up Building 7, get back, we're going to blow it up. CNN announced it fell in its own footprint before it had even fallen. BBC did the same thing. I mean, they blew that building up. I interviewed Barry Jennings, the deputy head of emergency management. He said, no, they ordered it blown up. 2 weeks later, he's dead. I mean, and people cannot spin. I have CNN, John, saying get back, they're going to blow it up, with the cops saying get back, it's coming down. And then it, boom, comes down. That's the 47-story building. So it did come out. It's just like Gulf of Tonkin came out, just like the CIA coup in 53 came out. It was a conspiracy theory until they finally officially admitted it. Now, I don't think every speculation out there turns out to be true. I know most of it isn't. But, I mean, my whole issue is I actually agree with what your dad said. Most of these things do end up coming out. It's just that nothing is then done about it. I mean, like you've said, it's known big banks are above the law and have engineered things to fail so they can get bailed out on the other side after the Ponzi scheme collapses. They should go to jail. But they're not, because it's too big to fail. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And there, of course, there's truth to what you're saying. For instance, Gulf of Tonkin is a good example. A lot of people dismissed that for a long time. The overthrow of Mossadegh in Iran in 53 is another example. You know, people were saying that happened and other people were dismissing it. And we know that it's true. And so to some extent, you know, true things that happen are not really well processed. But part of it is because of guys like you, Alex, who sort of discredit this stuff by casting your net too wide. I think, for example, in 9/11, you know, when buildings are falling down and planes are flying into buildings and people are running screaming through the streets with shit falling on their heads, all kinds of stuff gets said and tweeted and broadcast on police radios. It's the same thing with Vietnam. You can pick something Kennedy said and say, well, he was going to pull out of Vietnam, but you just sort of have to say we don't really know. We don't really know that. I mean, I'm pretty skeptic. If it's not running through my tape recorder, I just have to say, you know, it sounds right, it sounds plausible, but who knows? I think it's dangerous the way you and your listeners get vested in believing.
No. I agree with you. I agree with you.
Believe in.
No, I mean, I agree with you to a certain extent. Let's come back and talk about that, because I see people make up outlandish things about me, and as soon as it's been passed around, it becomes true, and I know it's not true. So I understand there's a lot of magical thinking going on out there where people use conspiracy theory as a way to simplify the world. Okay, I understand that. We'll be right back, but I want to quantify what I do. All right, your phone calls are coming up. We got some breaking news as well in the next segment. I know this probably closes the chapter in my life, because I know he's a busy guy and I'm busy, with John Richardson, but he's a man of his word and did, I think, a fair piece. And he's a very interesting journalist. I've read many of his profiles over the years. I did read My Father the Spy about a year after it came out because they sent us one here, the publisher, and I picked it up and read it one weekend. And people should get that. It's available on Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere, and you can see photos and inside of it kind of gives you a snapshot. But I do hope, John, that whenever you've got a big profile coming out and it's interesting and it kind of fits with what we're doing, you know, by that we don't do entertainment, but some of the more political stuff, I'd love to have you back on the show because you're an interesting guy. And I don't want to end the interview here arguing with you about a bunch of stuff. It's just this. I personally, and of course we just lost him on Skype again. It's unbelievable. When it rains, it pours. I have experienced so much corruption and tyranny myself, like you have in the magazine, you know, where I get a death threat and they tell me what I was talking about on the phone 5 minutes before. And I have experienced special forces trying to set fires and blame it on me just because I tried to cover something they were doing in Florida. I've experienced police lying about me. I've experienced government drug dealing. I have experienced, and so maybe I'm prejudiced because of that. But I think if you look at how many lies we've been told and what the system, John, I'm getting at this. So many lies have been exposed and so much corruption has happened. I think government and corporations are getting more corrupt. I think we are in a more decadent cycle. I don't romanticize leaders of the past. I think the power structure, because the general public's gotten decadent, gets away with a lot more than they used to. And I think overall it's healthy not to trust the system. What do you say to that?
Up to a point, I agree with you. I think it's healthy to question the system. You know, obviously, I'm a journalist. I think power corrupts and all that. I do agree with you, like with globalization and businesses being so big and so disconnected from their communities now. I mean, there was a time when, you know, Montgomery Ward was based in some American city and actually cared about the people who lived there. You know, maybe that's not a good example, but you know what I mean. So I do think there's sort of a disconnect and a loss of responsibility amongst our ruling classes. But I think if you're too skeptical and you just say there's no good people and it's all a scam and it's all corrupt, then really all you're doing is giving them, giving the corrupt ones encouragement. I think you got to hold on to your Elizabeth Warrens and people who are out there actually fighting for the people.
Well, I agree with you that from my perspective, I think when everybody hears they're a bunch of evil people, let's fight them. I'm thinking from my perspective, historically, that we can win. But I've learned it actually just scares a bunch of people and actually demoralizes some folks. So I get what you're saying on that level. I just don't know what you do then to get people out of their coma, John.
Well, I don't know, man. You know, it's... I guess it really depends on how people are affected by things. I mean, that's why I sort of like local actions, you know, to a lot of degree. If you're affected in your community by some event, you're going to take it real personally and you're going to be maybe a little more responsible in your approach to it. I don't know. I think people wake up out of their comas when they're personally disturbed. It's hard to be abstractly into whatever problems are in New York if you live in California and vice versa.
No, I agree with you. But looking at the problem right now in Egypt, it's the same thing, like you said, your dad was facing. He was backing the military dictatorship, basically, because statistically he could see it was a lot less chaos from being in World War II in collapsing Italy, like my grandfather was as well. Yeah, you know, really? My grandfather, your dad, he could see that. Now Obama and the neocons as well, to a certain extent, have been backing the jihadis, but they're running around killing Christians and minority groups. And then I don't back the military junta, but I can look at them statistically and see that things were more stable and better when they were in power. So it's immoral almost to make a decision, but then you're forced to.
Well, it's really hard to make a decision. I mean, you know, they had I don't think Obama backs jihadis. If you're talking about, you know, they had an election there and they elected the Muslim Brotherhood and he worked with that government. Yes, he did. But I mean, I think what one of the things that I see in your show and in life in general and media in general, like, is that we want answers and we want things to make sense, and they don't necessarily make sense. I mean, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood got in there and they made some bad calls. People started protesting. The army made a decision.
Sure, sure. Bottom line, it's a mess. We're out of time, John. Will you come back sometime when you've done a new profile or story?
Absolutely, sure. And thanks for having me on, Alex.
You bet. I'll come say bye to you in there on the Skype. John Richardson, get the book, My Father, the Spy, available everywhere. It's very interesting. We'll be right back with some breaking news. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
You can complain about Big Brother and how this is a potential program run amok. But when you actually look at the details, then I think we've struck the right balance. And if people can't trust not only the executive branch, but also don't trust Congress and don't trust federal judges to make sure that we're abiding by the Constitution, due process, and rule of law, then we're going to have some problems here.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
We're back live, folks, and I'll go into overdrive, whatever I've got to do to get to George and to get to Sierra Nevada and to get to Bill and Dominique and Rod. I'll at least go to those calls because I got a lot of news I need to get to. We have a special guest with some breaking news popping in here because listeners keep asking us about this. So I did some research and we've got the inside scoop for you on what's happening here. Not just the billions of bullets for Homeland Security, but also the food, the medicine they're buying. I mean, they've never acted like this to this level. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. First off, I want to tell you about Supernatural Silver. It really is amazing stuff. We use it in our home. I use the nasal spray for allergies, and it's done wonders. Pathogens are becoming increasingly dangerous, causing deadly outbreaks in hospitals, nursing homes, and schools and restaurants. Antibiotics are ineffective, or sometimes not even effective at all, because they've been overused. The new products, they've been around for a long time, but they have some new ones out from Supernatural Silver, offer a safe and effective means of killing pathogens where antibiotics and other drugs fail. For more information on how Supernatural Silver can protect you and your family, go to supernaturalsilver.com, one word, supernaturalsilver.com, and use the promo code AlexSays for 20% off at supernaturalsilver.com, AlexSays. And also privateinternetaccess.com. Keeping your information private on the web has never been more important now than all the spying. And it's come out in the news that these services are actually effective against the NSA because they're just scooping it all up. This, but also protects you from bad hackers. Most hackers are actually good. PrivateInternetAccess.com specializes in keeping your information private. They've got a bunch of great services. They're incredibly affordable. Encrypting internet connection, hiding your IP address, offering firewall protection to prevent data mining, eliminating records of your computer activity. PrivateInternetAccess.com is an American company, and you can use the service anywhere in the world with internet connection. Go to privateinternetaccess.com to protect you and your family's most valuable assets, your privacy. Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. Data thieves, not just the government. It is essential. And my family, we use privateinternetaccess.com, and we're using a lot of other systems as well. Okay. Now, about a week or two ago, we had an article. It was about 2 weeks ago, and I've gotten scores of phone calls, comments, emails, people wanting to know, other food companies calling us, confirming it's going on. None of them wanting to go on air. We can put our story up on screen for TV viewers. FEMA demanding 24-hour delivery of emergency food reserves. And folks have put out the emails where they're gearing up. And it's on a massive scale. It's not just the TSA getting 3.6 million bullets yesterday, enough for 9,000-plus bullets to be fired a day by their agents. It's billions. What's behind all of this? So I reached out about a week ago to our source on this, and I actually had some notes that he was able to send me on that subject. Guys, perhaps you can find those, because I had them here this morning, and I wanted to be able to go over those if you guys will come show me where that's at, because he was able to give me kind of a email briefing, too, on what was going on with it, and he's the president of eFoodsDirect.com. He's our sponsor, but he's here today to talk about what's going on with not just the canneries around the country and the Mormon canneries that he knows, but other food companies and their company with Homeland Security trying to buy all the food they can. Are they trying to corner the market like they've done with bullets and guns, or do they actually think something's coming? Steve Schenck, thanks for coming on. I know I had to twist your arm. Tell us what's happening today.
Well, thanks, Alex. It's good to be here. It's always good to chat with you again because you put some fire in everybody's belly. It's just wonderful. You know, it's kind of fascinating. We had the big brouhaha, and it continues to go on with regard to the bullets, but the food situation is really kind of interesting. One of the things that we learned with our Oklahoma experience, where your team and GCN Radio and eFoods Direct kind of band together when the Oklahoma disaster hit, and we were able to send out 50,000 meals in 6 days. And then we started doing some research afterwards, and the magnitude of the problem that we have when we have a disaster like this and have to cover hundreds and thousands in the case of Katrina and Sandy, we had to cover millions of meals, not just for the people that were in trouble, but also for the relief workers that come in. Food is becoming an interesting issue. But let's go back to the bullets. This is kind of interesting. Okay, how much use is your gun if you don't have any bullets? Makes a great paperweight, doesn't it?
Unless you've got a bayonet, and then it's only a spear.
There you go. It's kind of an interesting deal if you look at how people think. As soon as that buy started, the comment came, well, my goodness, what's going on? What do they know that we don't know? And as soon as the issue of stockpiling of food by FEMA and the relief organizations came up, everybody says, well, what do they know that we don't know? They might know some other stuff, but what we know, Alex, is plenty enough to get us fired up. It's what you and I have been talking to these people forever about. We're in the worldwide famine. The Chinese are buying up every bit of food they can get on the markets, and they're including all of our food that they can get their
hands
on.
Now, that's the real reason these third world countries are melting down, is that they're starving.
Absolutely. And you see, we've got an interesting situation. People are worried about what the government does with regard to buying up food. Why? Here's the point. Are you worried about the bullets that the government is buying if you have your own ammunition for your own gun? The only concerned people that have guns that should be really worried at this point with regard to what's going on is if they have their potential ammunition for their guns stored in a warehouse someplace that can be eliminated. In other words, they're not going to go around. Let me give you a perfect example. When they passed the Second Patriot Act, the part of that came out and said that if there's an emergency, you're going to have to be able to provide for yourself for at least 30 days. Otherwise, you need to go to a gathering center. And everybody said, oh my gosh, we're going to have to go to a gathering center. No, if you have your own food, you won't need to go to the gathering center to be fed.
This is so elementary that Stalin and every other authoritarian in Ukraine and other areas use cutting the food off as the control mechanism. So that's why you've been harping on this, that patriots need to have storable food, but then FEMA demonizes if you have more than a week of it while they're hoarding food. And that's why I wanted to get you on about this. Just please, specifically, what do you know about FEMA going out, because it's in the news, and contacting everybody and starting to hoard food? What's going on with that?
Well, the same stuff is going on that you have been predicting, that I've been talking about for all these years. Things are tightening down. There needs to be a handle on, well, Kissinger made the statement, you control nations with oil, you control people with food. And he did that back in the 70s, and that has been what's going on. But let's take it out of that. You remember how we handled the Patriot thing where you had to have a month's supply of food otherwise? You know how we said that? Roger, we put a spin on that. We put a spin on it that says, we, the people, are in control, and here's how you look at it. You say, Okay. It's the moral responsibility and the patriotic duty of every American to take care of themselves so they can leave the relief organizations to take care of those who can't. And that law still applies. You look at bullets, they can have all the bullets they want to. You got a gun. If you got a gun, no bullets, you got no gun. If you've got your own bullets, you don't have to worry about how many they got, and you don't need to wonder what the secret plan or the non-secret plan. Let's go back to food now, and let's use the same example. Your gun needs bullets, otherwise it's useless. You need food, otherwise you're useless. Now,
absolutely, absolutely. Everybody does need food, just like you need water filter and guns and bullets and friends and family and know how to skin a buck and run a trot line. I mean, we need to just go back to being natural humans that are self-sufficient, the opposite of everything the Obamanoids and the globalists want us to do. They want a permanent peasant class. They want us collectivized. The opposite is come out of Egypt. And even if you live in Egypt, you're in Egypt, but not of it. You're in the world, not of it. You've got the storable food. You're ready. You're ready to be able to take care of your family. People make fun of me having storable food, you know, yuppies and stuff. And I go, look, it's there. It's good for 20 years. If I ever need it, I've got it. I mean, even ants store food. Squirrels store food. Are they extremists? The answer is they're not just extremists. They're racist.
But here's the way that you can be fearless. Alex, you can be absolutely fearless with this. If you have your own food, you never have to stand in a bread line. And the very simple fact is, why did they require people to go to a gathering center if they didn't have enough food in the Patriot Act situation? Very simply, they can't make house calls. Well, this works very well. The government has no food. The government has no money. Now, all of your listeners will say, yeah, but they can print it. It can't do any good to print the money if they've got no food to buy, but if the government has no food, they've committed themselves to over half the population to provide food for them, and they
got
no food.
We now have 100, in fact, guys, show that CNS headline or AP headline from a month ago. 101 million Americans are now on food assistance. 49 million to 47, it fluctuates, are on daily food stamps. I mean, this is incredible.
Oh, it's absolutely insane. But here's the thing. The government has made the commitment to provide food for all these people, right? The government has no food. So when they have to fill those commitments, where are they going to get the food? They have to go someplace where there's food. Now, everybody's hunkered down with their little ammunition and their guns, and they're saying, well, they're going to come and get my food. No, they're not. They can't make house calls to collect your food any more than they can make house calls to feed you in the case of the Patriot Act situation.
Yeah, all they'll do is go bang on a few hundred doors, put it on the news showing old ladies being drug out to make you get scared and go to the Superdome to be gang raped and to watch troops with piles of water they're not even allowed to give you. The answer is don't live in the middle of a city and there's not jack squat they can do to you. Max, you'll have to deal. If it does degenerate, which it could, I hope it doesn't, but there's a good chance we need to be prepared. You'll have to deal with roving looters. And that's why you got friends and neighbors and guns. And somebody crosses your fence. Well, it's good night. Go ahead.
Well, let's go back to where the food is going to come from to take care of the government's commitment. It's going to come not from you as individuals. They can't make house calls and go collect a little
bit. It's
going to
come from the Walmart distribution centers, which they have official deals with. And so the general public's not going to be able to get the food.
So what's your conclusion? The same thing is if all the bullets are gone, your gun's no good, so you've got to have what? You got to have ammunition. You're no good if you got no food. And if in fact the food is going to be absorbed in large quantities to feed the people that the government has the responsibility to feed, it's going to come from the suppliers to the stores where you get. Now, let me tell you how big
they told
this
the job cops
is.
Go to Walmart and Katrina and load it.
There you go. Okay. But did they tell the cops to go house to house and find out if you got a little month's supply? No. So the very best thing you can do is get your supply in. Now, what we learned from the Oklahoma incident is that the job is too big for them to handle or for anyone to handle.
Yeah, how many meals did you send to them for free?
We sent 50,000 meals. And we got news coverage on it, and it's not just us. We didn't do it. It's your listeners and the people that listen to GCN Radio, Alex Jones, and work with us for their food supplies. They all pitched in 50,000 meals in 6 days. That's impressive. We got news coverage on it. But after the dust settled, we discovered that there were something like, 18,000 people that were sent in as relief workers, and they had 33,000 people that were directly affected. You put that all together, and what we did with our little 50,000 meals, we fed them lunch for a day. But the beauty of it is this. Anybody can eat a hippopotamus one spoonful at a time. If everyone has the ability to take care of themselves just a little bit, if everybody takes themselves, then no one will be left to need taking care of by these agencies that we
absolutely
have.
Absolutely. And you know, thinking about this, Steve Shank, and I'm glad we talked about this today, thinking about this, people would really be crazy with as out of control as the world is right now to not have high quality storable foods. And I know I didn't get you on to pluggyfoodsdirect.com today /Alex. People can find the free shipping special you guys are still running. But I think it is important for people to understand why they do need high quality storable foods. And I've done a lot of research. You've been a great sponsor helping us get the word out. You've got great prices. You've got a 6 free meal deal where people can get a meal planning kit and test it out. You've got all the specialty foods for specialty diets. In the minute and a half we've got left, tell folks about some of the great package deals you've got at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Well, the most important one is the one that we learned about from the Oklahoma incident. It is called the Just In Case. We are now, as of today and tomorrow, we'll have it up on the website as the EPAC 60, the big brother of the EPAC 7, which is what we sent out to Oklahoma. And we're gonna provide something that has never been done before. We're going to tell people how to, by taking care of themselves, they can help to take care of other people without spending one thin dime to do it. And we're going to be announcing that tomorrow. But if they'll get up on our site today at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and take a look at what's going on, they'll be looking at the Just In Case. And that's specifically designed for everyone in the country, every home, to do just a little bit. And if we all do just a little bit, we can do this job that there's no possible way that these large organizations can do for us.
Well, I mean, major universities estimate 7 million people died in the decade of the Great Depression from malnutrition or other food-related issues. And my goodness, if things unravel now, I think it'll be 10 times worse. I hope that isn't the case. But here's the toll-free number for folks that want to call and find out more. It's up there on screen for people. Again, folks, I want to thank Steve Shank for joining us. It's 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633 is the number to call to find all the specials. 800-409-5633. Your phone calls straight ahead on the other side.
I can see for miles and miles and miles.
Well, I got Steve on to talk about Homeland Security buying up food, and then he didn't really want to get off into it. And you said, why don't you just get food? And I get he really passionately believes in it. I do as well. I mean, I want liberty lovers to not be dependent on the system. And that's why I try to say buy American, buy local as much as I can. Nobody's perfect. I try to say, you know, create your own community, support local farmers markets, support the Amish. I mean, it's really that simple. And that's all I'm really trying to do. Is have a future for my children. I was just looking at Infowars.com, and I saw one of our listeners in one of our Infowars.com shirts being arrested, and so I can't help it. I'm going to your calls, but I'm trying to read this. I'm always getting distracted looking at all this stuff. Arrest of anti-Obama protesters on St. Charles overpass sparks controversy. And you can see that's an InfoWars.com tyranny response team shirt, because it says InfoWars.com right there on the arm. And the state police are grabbing the guy around the neck. And just look at the cop's look. Look how he's looking at him like he's a terrorist. He's the enemy. I mean, that's just pure tyranny, man. These jacked up cops who are all angry and strutting around, like bugging their eyes out more than I see troops doing that in videos in Iraq. And, wow. What type of state police is that? Does it say where that is? What's STL today? St. Louis today. So I guess that's in, up in Missouri. Missouri Highway Patrol. Yeah, they got checkpoints and everything. And that's our listeners that happened to. So we need to get unbelievable. I guess that's that move that we tried to magnify as they go out on the overpasses and protest, which I've looked at all the state laws. It's totally legal. As long as you're not hanging something on the overpass. But so what? The government's totally criminal. And the cops all show up like, you've really done something. And I saw the videos a few weeks ago is why I got mad and say, go out and do this. Where in California, they walk up to somebody and just push them on the ground. You can kill somebody doing that. And man, I don't even want to watch this video. I'll do overdrive, folks. I'm going to go to your calls. Don't worry. I don't even want to watch this video now. Oh, yeah, here's the state police showing up, one of our listeners. Look at it. They got a whole bunch of police cars like, we got terrorists. We got a big, look at these cops in their Marine Corps hats. Hey, why don't you go overseas and actually fight some real enemy, you know? Militarized police are so criminal, ladies and gentlemen, because look at this, grab them around the neck. Just the guy's doing nothing. Militarized police are such a joke because they're acting like they're fighting an enemy and all they're doing is pulling over you and your family. And they go, well, we got drug gangbangers are dangerous. The government brings all the drugs and everybody knows that. Man, this makes me sick. Yeah, it's overpass for Obama's impeachment. Two patriots arrested. Well, you know the answer. We need more people going out and hitting the overpasses. Man, but I mean, just watching the cops. Let me tell you what it is about bad cops, and this is more and more the way they are because they're trained to do this. When I'm at a gas station, like three or four gangbangers, they could be white trash gangbangers, they could be Hispanic gangbangers, black gangbangers, whatever. They get out, they're bugging their eyes out, they're acting tough, they're acting like you're intimidated. My problem is I'm not looking for trouble, but I immediately want to jump up on the hood of my car and start assaulting people. It's like, you know, because I'm like a dog, that like a sheepdog. It's real friendly, it's nice. Sees a wolf, it wants to kill. And I mean, just the minute people mess with me, I just start wanting to assault them. I mean, that's just how I am. And I see that with cops now when they strut up and the gang member stuff and talk to you like you're garbage and all this. You know what? You people are pathetic, all of you. You're all a bunch of gang members and I've had enough of it. Makes me want to throw up watching cops walk up to people. We showed that video last week. They just walk up to somebody, just shove them down on the ground. I'll just shove you down. This is North Korea. I hate America. I hate your rights. I hate freedom. I hate the First Amendment. I'm a piece of trash. Overdrive's coming up. Infowars.com/show. Audio streams, everything's on the site. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, I tell the listeners to keep an eye on InfoWars.com, and then I miss half the stuff they just put up since I've been on today. And I looked up and saw a St. Louis Today newspaper article, and the guy had InfoWars.com on his shirt. And it shows the cops choking him. And these guys are totally peaceful. The cops come up like authoritarian thugs in North Korea, bulldog them, and then just start choking them. You think you're going to cry in America, you filth. But meanwhile, they're like on the news. Now, the protesters need to be able to shoot police and firebomb things in Cairo. They're good. It's democracy for them to throw the Christians off roofs. We have a criminal government. But, man, I look at these crazed cops. Like, they're walking up going, how dare you? Ugh, First Amendment. I mean, they are just so angry. And the protesters, I'd either get mad or laugh. The protesters are laughing as they do nothing. And I bet they charge them with assault as the cops choke them. Look at this. Hey, punch up my computer for TV viewers. I'm going to show them this. Look at this. Look at this. There they are. And then the cop just grabs him around the neck right here. He's doing nothing. Oh, I'll show you, boy. I mean, can you imagine if George Washington saw this? He would just throw up everywhere. And these cops, most of them are combat vets. They've been doing this to Iraqis all day. And now they're here going, boy, we don't have protesting in Baghdad. You're going to Abu Ghraib. It's our country now, boy. You don't protest in America. Man, I tell you, I'm about to throw up. And it's just the way the cops are acting. I was watching this video earlier with their eyes bugging out, acting all crazy. These police are pathetic. He's wearing another InfoWars shirt. All I can tell you is, cops, don't worry. You're going to have all your rights raped, too, by your masters. Don't you even worry. Yep, our listeners, evil terrorists. Oh, my goodness. Absolute demons. Oh, my gosh. They're such tough guy men. Looks like they have 20 cops that have responded to this, too, when they show shots down the other street. Because it's so frightening. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Let's go to your phone calls. George, you're on the air, sir. Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, Alex, can we get another one of those petition drives for the White House going for Brooksley Bourne? Could you imagine if she became the Federal Reserve Chairman? They would go just ape. I mean, the 40 thieves would just know. They wouldn't know what to do about her.
Yeah, tell folks about her for people that may not know.
She was the commodity futures trade commissioner, and she basically went after all these illicit trades with the futures and derivatives and all this stuff.
Absolutely, she was willing to blow the whistle a few years before all the derivative stuff came out, and she's a hero. That's a good idea. We could have a petition to have her in there as the head of the Fed. That would be like having the farmer guarding the hen house, though. They don't want that. They want the head fox guarding it.
The thing is, that would make the point even bigger.
Oh, man, that's a great idea, sir. Hey, what do you think of arresting people that protest peacefully against Obama and the cops acting like they've found Al-Qaeda?
Well, I think that's just wonderful. I mean, I've tried to do things for people, too, and I'm a Republican, you know, ordinary people that were Democrats, and the local gendarmes here told me if I keep my nose in their business, they might actually kill me. They came to my house and threatened my wife and myself right in front of me. That's the type of police we have nowadays.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to hold you over, George, and we're going to go to Sierra Nevada, Bill, Dominique, and Rod, and then we're done. I want to come back and hear about this, because I had the Rockwall police tell me they were going to kill me to my face for no reason. Well, I suppose in their drug dealing. And then they threw a lawyer, told me they were going to kill me, that I'd hang myself in the jail cell next time. So I want folks to hear this, because, I mean, we bow to them, and they've put these bad guys in. And, man, I tell you, just let them start their shooting war. That's all I can say. I've tried to stop it, but they want it. They want a war with us.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
You think you got a First Amendment in America? Think again, scum. Especially in the show me state of Missouri. The globalists know they got patriots up there, and just like Indiana, they want to keep them in line. That's why. Then we're going back to your calls for folks that are holding, like George and others. That's why they said, oh, the rodeo clown, the bull chased it. That was a threat against Obama. You're fired, banned for life. Everybody's got to go take federal sensitivity training. You're all guilty because of what somebody else did that wasn't even bad. That's pure authoritarianism. Like your neighbor does something, so you go to jail too. Or somebody shoots a federal Gestapo officer like in Nazi Germany, so they kill 30 people randomly in the town. That's how authoritarians work, for those that didn't know. you have what looks like more than 10 police. I've counted seven different state police and five or six regular local police in Missouri show up to a dozen or so people on an overpass calling for Obama's impeachment. And the cops come over with savage looks, start choking people. In California, we got footage of them pushing people down, and they're there to intimidate you that you don't have free speech. Because the last thing they want is Americans to start hitting the streets by the millions calling for Obama to be impeached. Because if the American people ever stand up to this kleptocratic class, that's it for their new world order. And I was thinking, looking at this video that's up on Infowars.com, we're going to have Kit Daniels do a story on it. Obama truth squads, police arrest anti-Obama protesters. That's what it is. Police arrest and brutalize peaceful anti-Obama protesters in Missouri. And the answer is obviously to really push now and to have the overpasses.org group on, who started this a month ago and now it's popping up everywhere, to just do this more. And to do this more in Missouri. And to have the national Tea Party groups that aren't total neocons call for, how about 50,000 show up at that overpass? And I know they'll call out tanks and they'll have helicopters to act like you're bad. It's all about how we're bad, but the government that's run by foreign banks is good. So before I go back to your calls, I want to just play you the Obama truth squads in Missouri, where they say, we'll decide, not a jury, not a judge, if something's libel or slander, we'll come arrest you. And this is how authoritarians work. You talk bad, we'll arrest you. And imagine, when North Korea does this, it's bad. When they do this in Egypt, when they arrest protesters, oh, it's terrible. But when it's done here, and again, the cops don't even come up like the state police have done to me at a protest inside their building in Texas and apologize that they've been ordered to take me to jail. They enjoy it and just, I haven't gotten fully in the story yet, but I bet money they're going to charge them with assaulting the cops. I mean, these cops walk up like they've just busted a den of child molesters or something. Because that is the ultimate crime in America to authoritarian police, is an American. An American is the enemy. Because we're not bowing down to the takeover. So let's go to the Missouri Truth Squads 5 years ago, and they're now doing it. You're a rodeo clown, you're fired. Everybody else is guilty. By the way, Texas said, come on down here. We'll hire you down here. The guy's hiding out now. This is not my country. And again, I know a lot of police are listeners and are upset about this, and these are the bad examples. But man, I've seen some stuff where cops walk over to a woman and push her down for having a political sign. And let me tell you, I mean, I see red when I see that. And I mean, you guys, they've hired a bunch of spoiled brat bullies that literally think they're the Queen of England, and we're all supposed to kiss your butts, and I'm not going to do it anymore. Let's go ahead and go to this Truth Squad clip that shows what they're now doing. Unbelievable. If you wanted to stand out there with a sign, you know, to go to Willie's Pizza or something, it'd be fine. And I bet you money if it was illegal aliens out there, they'd probably roll a red carpet out for them. But you're an American citizen, and that means you're a dog. Let's go to this clip where they try to imply that First Amendment is illegal. Here it is.
Barack Obama's presidential campaign is asking Missouri law enforcement to target anyone who lies or runs a misleading.
He's not a candidate now. He runs the show.
The presidential campaign. This first, John Mills is live at the county election board in Maplewood. He's been learning more about which members of law enforcement are getting involved in this. John,
oh, law enforcement.
Russell, good evening. Prosecutors and sheriffs from across Missouri are joining something called the Barack Obama Truth Squad. Two high-profile
prosecutors. That's an oxymoron.
Part of the team. We met them this afternoon in the Central West End. They are Jennifer Joyce from the city, Bob McCullough, the St. Louis County prosecuting attorney. They will be reminding voters that Barack Obama is a Christian who wants to cut taxes for anyone making less than $250,000
a year. He increased them.
They also say they plan to respond immediately to any ads and statements that might violate Missouri
like
ethics law.
Russian Gestapo.
We want to keep this campaign focused on
issues. I mean, this is like NKVD.
We don't want people to get distracted, and Missourians don't want to be distracted by these divisive character
attacks. I mean, this is how tyranny happens.
So we're here to respond.
Some cop up there saying she'll arrest you.
Set the record straight.
Shut up, tyrant!
Whether it is directly attributable to the campaign or to one of the soft money operations, if they're not going
to
tell
the truth. People need to be kicked out of this nation immediately.
Wait a minute.
I bet he's involved in this.
This is the truth.
Well, don't let me. I don't want to get around that guy.
Now, the Obama campaign tells News 4 that others, prosecutors and sheriffs, are also also
prosecutors,
team, including some from the Kansas City area,
commissars,
rural parts of Missouri. We're also told the Truth Squad is expected to include Jefferson County Sheriff Glenn Boyer. Live in Maplewood, John Mills, News 4.
John, thank you.
So, if I lie and say he isn't going to raise taxes on poor people, I'll be arrested. He did. Doesn't matter, because we got cops wearing Marine Corps drill sergeant hats coming up going, trying to tell. I mean, I just can't handle somebody coming up with their fist already. Yeah, I'm a Marine Corps. You're my enemy. You know what? You guys are a bunch of play soldiers, and I've had it with you. I declare resistance to your tyranny. See, I needed to not get mad today so I'd have energy to work on the film. And all. You know, I'm going to work extra hard, and I'm never going to surrender. That makes me want to vomit. George in Connecticut, I held you over in the last segment. Tell us the story about the police coming to your house and saying they'll kill you if you're politically active and talk to Democrats. And see, a lot of Democrats are on power trips now. They're like, we'll kill whoever we want. We're in charge now. We the bosses. Like North Korean idiots. Go ahead, you evil American. Tell me what the police came to your house and told you.
Well, I was working on a project to try to prevent the destruction of a major housing development that was for handicapped, you know, and old people and something like that.
Oh, they really get mad when you're stopping some big guy rolling in with some deal with the local constabulary to swap some land and make some cash. Now I understand. So Don Corleone dropped by with Luca Brasi?
Yeah, he didn't even announce who his name was, but I have connections, and I found out who he was within a half an hour, put in a complaint with the police department. It turns out they always throw away complaints that they know is really going to mean
something.
Well,
they don't throw them away. They use them in the bathroom.
Right. Absolutely.
As fat as their elephant butts are, it takes a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, but when I kept pressing it with the FBI, federal officials, the senators, the congressmen, the state's attorney, the federal attorney, they started getting a little nervous. So they sent their little Gestapo team to make up some crime and try to electrocute me while I was in my bathtub by tasering me and stun gunning me while I was wet. And they basically almost did kill me. I was laying on the ground.
Oh, so let's explain it. But let me guess, they were able to bulldoze the old folks area?
No, I stopped them because the heads of HUD and a few other people got involved, so they became a little bit too hot for them.
No, that's my dad always told me this, and it's true. When you mess with local boss hogs is when they come after you. I mean, I've had them where the cops would just see me in a car, pull me over, you're going to jail. Or I'd show up at a party, pull up, take me to jail, and then they told my dad, we're going to basically kill your son if you don't leave, because I'd shot my mouth off, they were dealing drugs. They'd pull us over, want to search the car, and I'd go, I saw you deliver drugs, Bob, years ago to the housewife, and they'd be like, look, you come here. And then it would just be, you're going to pay later, because they never do it right when you catch them in the act. They're like, you're going to get it, you little, and then stomp off. And they're just a bunch of drug dealers, man. They're mafia with guns and badges, and they're trying to take over every department. But I guess Serpico was the bad guy. He should have gone along with it, too. Go ahead.
You were right on the mark in the sense I found out that we had a drug dealer in our house that this man basically ran because he was running these buildings surreptitiously. I didn't even know he had any relationship. He was one of the head cops, but he was running it because they were running drugs to UBS, the major Swiss bank right down the street.
Of course. Listen, buddy, it's a $500 billion a year industry in the U.S. alone. Do you think the establishment's involved? $500 billion? They're never going to make it legal. They can take your kids for no reason. They can SWAT team you. They run it. They love it. It's fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I appreciate your call, you terrorist. We're going to skip this break. What a sick terrorist. He tried to keep a handicap facility going that they wanted to bulldoze and build a mall on. But they showed him. They came and tasered him. They can't, but you know what? They didn't get to throw the handicapped folks out. And you think you got a gold star from God for standing up to them? You did. And the bad guys, they did not get a gold star. They got a little flame sticker, which means how much they're going to be flame broiled. A lump of coal for you. Let's talk to Sierra Nevada. You're on the air from California. Go ahead, and thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex, thanks for taking my call into Overdrive. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, my friend. I'm just glad they choked and arrested and shoved people down to the ground all over the country for daring to protest Obama. I hope next time they just line them up and shoot them. You know,
How dare we disgrace the king?
How dare you? Well, no, you're not supposed to be disrespectful. I'm not really a crude person. I think I'm gonna get a picture of Obama and like urinate on it or something. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, they might ban you. They might make you be unemployed. Watch out.
You know what? That'd probably be a gift, I tell you what. I'm totally committed to fighting this as hard as I can, but it gets a little old, brother.
Yeah, then you'll be co-host with maybe at least Sean Hannity. At least he can disparity Obama.
Well, he'll be allowed to because he wants to warmonger. You know, they've got to get ready for the Republicans to come in later. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm a longtime listener, Prison Planet TV subscriber, sir. Therefore, I guess that makes me a fellow racist because I'm guilty by association. I listen to Alex Jones.
Well, you've listened to the show today. You've heard a lot of racism, and they'll go, yes, any criticism of Obama. He could never have got away with this, folks, if he was white. I wish he was white because he never would have got away with it all. But the political correct bandwagon they have. Go ahead.
Hey, but I want to say something, Alex. You know, I know you're a humble man. You really want to be humble and don't take credit. But, sir, you have to give yourself a bow, please. I mean, you've vindicated yourself 1,000 times over, Alex. I've been listening to you since 2008. All this stuff you said that people made you sound like you're a tinfoil hat wearer, it's all come to fruition. So no one can discredit you, Alex Jones, not even MSNBC. You know what? You can take a bow, sir.
Well, I'll curtsy back to you, my friend, but I'm just not even thinking about that because, and God bless you, I appreciate your call. You know, I never ask listeners for help because if they defend me in the blogs and YouTube and the sites, it only adds to the distraction at certain levels. But at a certain point, people just need to know that there's all sorts of dirty trick campaigns going on. One of the biggest is they'll go and send fake emails, fake letters with Alex Jones spoof accounts to preachers and politicians and media people where I send threatening, mean, racist stuff or whatever to folks. And, of course, it's not me. And I've had them years ago spoof my fax machine, death-threatening people, and had the police call me. And I go, you know they could spoof a fax machine. And they go, yeah, we figured that. But it's just you name it, it's going on. But it's intensified to where I have to deal with it a lot where people I know go, well, why'd you send me that email? And it's got to be the government because sometimes they'll have intimate details of my interactions with people as well to really doll this stuff up. Number one, I don't have time to go around talking bad about people behind the scenes. If I do, it'll be on the air. But really nasty COINTELPRO type tactics. Or they've got armies of people out saying really horrible things and then endorsing me. And they're doing that to try to toxify the name Alex Jones, assassinate my name instead of me physically, and perhaps ahead of doing it physically. But that's why I always try to say, don't get involved in a debate about Alex Jones. Don't defend me. Because if it's about the information, then it doesn't have the taint of my name that they've painted. Even though there isn't a real taint there, they've put the artificial taint there. So just don't get involved in the debate. Move forward warning people about the globalists. They want to change the subject and make it a sideshow. What we do need your help doing is saying, hey, go listen to the Alex Jones Show. There's a free iPhone app, free Droid app, free podcast, free video feed, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Hey, here's my membership to PrisonPlanet.tv. 11 people can use it simultaneously. Pass that on to others. Today, do it today. Get them to watch the nightly news. But so tell folks about Alex Jones and Infowars.com and what we do, but don't defend us and magnify their lies. Okay? Because all that does is give it legs. If they kill me, which they might do, I mean, folks, I know I'm going to die. I'll be 80 before I know it. You know? Life's so short, I'm not worried about it, really. I don't want to die, but I love the idea of freedom so much, I'm not even worried about it. It's actually very empowering not to be worried about it. But they will run a bunch of hit pieces and scandals right after they kill me. I will need to be defended then because the issue is then they'll try to hurt the whole movement if they can sink me. So that's when I need to be defended is when they kill me, which is 50-50 probably in the next 5 years or so they'll kill me or set me up or put me in prison, something like that. But just know I have already won. I've already made the decision to do this. I've already know the danger. I mean, I'll get death threats and go, you know we can kill you. You know we can. And I'm like, well, what do you think, I'm stupid? I mean, the system can't believe that I'm just committed and that's it and that's all there is and there's nothing else. That doesn't mean they can't electroshock, torture me, and get me to come out and say I'm Ronald McDonald if they want. The point is, this conscious human in this time and space in a Zen way is alive forever, and I'm not worried about it. Okay, I made the right decision in front of my creator, and that's what matters. God judges the heart. That's what you have to understand. We're all wicked. We all have problems, but it's our heart. What's our inclination? And that's what you've got to decide. Where is your heart? Where is your spirit? What do you choose? Do you choose life? Do you choose death? Do you choose truth? Do you choose lies? Do you choose to be a narcissist, or do you choose to be an individual that tries to empower others? And none of us are perfect. But the enemy will come and tell you how you're imperfect just so you feel inadequate and never do anything, because they know you're good. They know only good people listen to that type of stuff. Ignore the enemy. Move forward against them. But I think about my choice, and that's why it almost brings tears to my eyes and I have trouble talking about it, because it's who I am. It's everything. It's the commitment. It's my essence. I come close to my soul. I come close to everything I am, everything I ever will be, in the decision to not be evil, in the decision to not be a liar, in the decision to stand and not be a coward. In that is the fulfillment of life. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's talk to Bill in Virginia. Thanks for holding her on the air.
Thank you much. Yeah, I went to the Redskins game yesterday, and the security changes are extraordinary. Bunch of new people, all black uniforms. I recognize one as being a retired local police officer, and had a chat with them, and said it was intentional to be intimidating, you know, wearing that kind of outfit. And then on top of that, there were a few people wearing, you know, assault rifles and, you know, exposed guns who were not police. They were private security. I've never encountered that kind of thing.
No, sir. Look, they did the Boston bombing. Clearly, that's an operation, as I said, to roll this out. And they've had it all. And it's the rollout of martial law and of mercenaries on the streets of America.
Absolutely. Yeah, made what's been a very nice experience for decades for me and my friends and family. You know, made it very uncomfortable.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, just let them do it. You know, they're real terrorists, blah, 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 that, yeah, rides of the globalists aren't funding. Not really. It's now going to be on your street, and then it's going to be in your house. So the thing is, they're coming. And you got to ask yourself, what's the gear up for? I think you know the answer to that. Why do you think they're gearing up for all this?
Intimidation is a lot of it, just so that you'll do what you're told when they want to, you know, order you about.
Yeah, when they come to take your guns. I mean, they are planning and training for a war they're going to start with us. And they've got all these cops and guys on roids who just want to have combat, and they really think combat with 10 million or more veterans and a bunch of mad Americans is going to be fun. I mean, you want it, you're going to get it. And they're going to say we're all terrorists when it happens.
Well, there's an executive order from March 16, 2012. That sort of lays out the groundwork for how the government, in an emergency, you know, all Obama has to do is say it's an emergency, and then various cabinet members will head up divisions that, you know, one can.
That's right, and Congress is totally suspended, and Congress is not even allowed to see the full plan. Yeah, that's a big deal.
That particular executive order, that's the way they're going to, you know, confiscate everything they want. Not too many people are aware of that one, but yeah, March 16, 2012, folks should look it up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I'm going to look that up. I remember that executive order. They got a bunch of them that do the same thing. Yeah, it's sad. I can hear the sadness in your voice. Well, they're going to do it because they're going to take everybody's pensions, basically, and then create a federal one, but the money goes to offshore banks. That'll be a pittance of what you would have gotten previously. I mean, did the retired cop not realize what a joke it was, or did he really think because of fake terror alerts that Al-Qaeda was going to try to attack that day?
He was joking, saying that they call this new security team the Goon Squad.
and he was sort of chuckling about it. And I don't really know this guy that well. I know some other officers where I live, and I've seen him at some of the events they have. But, it makes you upset. World's changing in ways you never want to see.
Let me tell you, they're training to take you to a FEMA camp, bud. I mean, they're not... Let me tell you, and that cop, first it's mercenaries and it's checkpoints, then now we're arresting people, but they'll tend to go along with it because, they're part of the winning team, but they're not. Those mercenaries, after they've taken us out, are going to shoot that cop in the back of the head, and I'm not joking.